popping. It's an all-new week for the Drew and Mike Show. Lions on Monday night, so it's kind of like a Friday almost.
Yeah.
Just excited to just kind of weenie their way through work, get home, and watch Monday Night Football.
It still holds that cachet, man.
Yeah, it's
not quite
cool
like
as
when
hell.
I was a kid and when you were a kid, but...
Kind of sucks on Sunday, but something to look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, yes.
Bum, 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 bum.
Sponsors. Drew and Mike's store is open.
Yeah.
As it always is. Go to Drew and Mike's store, buy everything, and then buy another one. And then...
You should start selling Halloween costumes on there.
Well, you can buy those through Amazon.com or our Amazon portal.
I'm really annoyed that there's, like, sexy this and sexy that. I think the new one I saw today was sexy Miss Impeachment, which is just a sash that says Miss Impeachment. I would wear that.
Well, I don't know.
I think wearing that.
I think slutty has always been the way to go on Halloween, isn't it?
Plenty of other slutty things to be.
Facebook Live brought to you by Grow Green MI, where they buy in bulk and pass their savings on to you, the grower. Bring them a quote for over $2,000 from any hydro store, and they will beat it on the spot. Crazy deals like bags of Ocean Forest for $10, Advanced Nutrients Big Bud gallons for $79.
Hey, you know, I think I'll just grow my own weed.
And hundreds of Fluent Spiders in stock for only $1,420. Grow Green MI, M36. Grow Green at M36 in Whitmore Lake or online at growgreenmi.com.
That is nice. That is nice.
And I come in today, and just from the conversation, I think Brandon has bet a parlay on my account. That is not a sure thing.
How did you read into that?
I know. Well, I just realized there hasn't been a lot of action on your account, so I wanted to give you...
There's
boom.
No
hot take.
What is there? Some does the account go dormant if there isn't activity?
If you don't use it, you lose it.
No, but if I get some winnings, I can really bolster your account, and you'll be very happy. So I'm trying to do that.
Okay, how much yardage did our lock get this week?
Oh, you know what? I think he's on a bye.
Oh no! You bet on yourself.
Okay, and the parlay is?
Oh, Cowboys over the Jets.
You're gonna be so mad at one of them.
Cowboys over the Jets.
Lions.
How many points?
Oh, seven. Seven.
How many points are the Lions getting?
3.5. I have faith in my team this year.
I don't mind that one.
But you have to win both bets.
Oh, well, that part, yeah.
Yeah.
That's not a sure thing.
That's
got to
be the best bet anybody ever made.
How is
that
a lot? I
got one on the Saints right now. That's looking pretty good.
Is that on my bookie?
Correct.
How many bets in the parlay?
Oh, that's not in the parlay, the Saints one, but there's three. The other one's the under for the Seattle.
What? A three-bet parlay? Do you think you're Patrick Lavey?
I know, but I mean, I bet
very... Did you clear with Patrick Lavey?
I bet very little to win a ton, so...
What kind of...
How much did you bet?
We'll know in a couple hours here.
What kind of monster bets the under?
I know.
This is idiotic. Your odds of winning are like 100 million to one.
I know.
Animal.
No one bets the under.
Animal.
Cheering for the under? Oh, my God. It's un-American.
Yeah.
It's boring.
What's points?
I didn't think we were going to talk about it on the air. So.
Good God.
You guys really set me up on this one.
How am I going to double my paycheck
with
Brandon making wacky bets that are not locks? We were supposed to have the lock of the week last week, by the way, and I never heard what it was.
All right. I apologize for that. I have a sound.
Is the parlay's the lock of the week?
No, I'll take that Saints one.
Yeah, it's a good bet. I like that one.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm making you money, dude.
What's the account at? What's the current balance?
I would have to... I mean, it'd take a long time to get in there.
Oh, you haven't been in the account in a while, I guess.
No, it's just a little bit low, but there's so many open bets.
So what do you mean there's so many open bets? How many open bets are there?
Like six, probably. There's ones that are season long, and, you know, there's ones with hockey, and that's going to be...
Hockey bets?
Yeah.
Did you bet on hockey?
I took the over on the Wings points.
Well done.
Yeah.
So we'll find out about that in April.
I know. That's the problem with futures.
They're on a good pace. They're on a good pace.
They are on a good pace. I agree.
In terms of making that bet.
MyBookie.ag is where to go. They will double your first deposit. Use promo code Drew to activate the offer. That's promo code Drew. Visit MyBookie.ag. You can bet on fantasy. You can bet overs, unders. Any game under the sun, bet the money line, take the points, give the points.
Drew?
MyBookie.ag, promo code Drew.
And Devin Singletary gained 0 yards today because they're in a bye.
Yeah. So. He's just getting healthy. He's going to come out of the gate. I'm telling you.
Under this hamstring. I thought he was day-to-day 3 weeks ago.
He was. He still is. He's coming back. Dude, lock. I'm telling you.
Not the lock.
You'll see.
Led to believe. Okay. Meanwhile, Michigan was locked to beat Illinois yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Great.
Kind of interesting.
Never in doubt.
I love going on Twitter when Michigan isn't playing well. It's so
hilarious.
Funny how angry Michigan fans get. Did everyone calm down after they scored two touchdowns?
No, because we know the team isn't very good. So what does it matter anyway?
Well, they're 5-1.
Okay.
Michigan!
It feels like they're 0-6. And I'm not going to get sucked into this week because they have no chance in hell at beating Penn State and Penn State. If the game is in Ann Arbor, maybe, but there's no way they win.
I don't think Penn State's that good.
They are, but they're not going to win there at night at Happy Valley.
Well, I don't know.
Last time, that was like the worst loss. Isn't that the worst loss in Harbaugh's
career? Pretty bad. What was the line on that?
I don't know. Not going to get sucked in.
They were in the game at halftime.
And it also says here that Penn State prefers to be losing at halftime? Because at Penn State, they like when you're a little behind in the locker room.
game day's going to be there. So that's cool.
Hey. By the way, the players had shirts on before the game against Iowa that said, chains, tattoos, and dreads. We are Penn State!
And the coaches made them take them off.
Yes.
Now, my first thought was the coaches made them take them off because they weren't Nike.
Exactly.
Is that really why?
Yeah, it was okay. NCAA. Well, no, I think it was NCAA violation of some kind.
What is it?
It
like
would
when,
have been.
Like when Bosworth wore a
National Communist Country Association or whatever. Boz! We're still talking about him!
I still like the guy. He's great.
Chains, tattoos, and dreads. Yeah. We are Penn State.
Yeah.
That's what every alumni likes to see.
That story has been so overwhelmed.
I know. It is
the dumbest story. One guy wrote a letter.
It's really symbolic of what makes news nowadays. Mm-hmm. A guy writes a dumb letter to the Penn State captain who shares it with his teammates, and they immediately start tweeting about it. One guy tweets, somebody tell me why this shit isn't racist. I mean, it just doesn't feel like a good story. It's a dumb old alumni.
Trolls are news these days.
They better give that guy a ring if Penn State wins anything because he's really got the team to rally around an issue.
Seems to have fired up the squad.
Yes.
But, okay, it's one letter to one person. It's a dumb letter. And, you know, when you're a well-known person like the captain of Penn State, you get dumb letters and dumb correspondence.
Yeah.
But then it becomes a part of Twitter, and now there's these t-shirts, and it's just national news.
This might be nitpicking, but the one thing that bothered me about the reaction from the team is that they start talking about what a great guy he is and how he's this like perfect player and all that, which is fine, but that's not what the letter was about. The letter didn't say that.
He said the letter said he was a great player. He's a fan of this guy.
All the letter said, and the letter was dumb, but all it said is that a guy didn't like his hair.
It was like...
It wasn't about... like, and all the defense of him... Nobody said, well, yeah, no, that's a great hairstyle. It wasn't about the issue at hand.
It's kind of like his great-grandfather said something dumb to him.
Exactly.
Except it's a Penn State alumni. Exactly. And because the Penn State alumni, I assume he's white, it becomes racist.
Did you see the story on Game Day about it and the reaction? Reese Davis was just appalled.
Oh, God.
Did you
Should we watch it?
Yes, because okay. Desmond was wading into very questionable waters, I thought. But then he backtracked immediately.
Oh, boy.
Boom! Hot take!
Anyway, the Michigan fans were just appalled.
It should be.
They were up 28-0, and Illinois scored 25 straight points. It was a game for about 3 minutes.
Yeah, even though you tried to tell me that it wasn't a game.
Well, I knew they weren't going to lose. Illinois is terrible.
So is Michigan.
They had about, didn't they have 11 or 12 penalties in the game? Yeah. And they fumbled, and I don't know.
They were up 28-0. They had the most rushing yards in the first half that we've had in 15 years. And it should never have been a game. I don't understand why they can't hold on to a football.
I know they do. They had 17 fumbles going into the game yesterday.
Can we check what kind of football we use?
Well, you know.
Is that an issue? Is it the type of football?
I thought Shea Patterson was the he was going to change everything, and
I'm
he was going to be
him.
A first-round pick last year. After he played his 1 year, he was the puzzle completed.
They run
and then that didn't work out. So they got speed and space. They got the new offensive coordinator. Speed and space.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Read the preseason articles.
You gotta have speed and space.
Yeah, guys, that didn't work out well, did it? That didn't work out well at all, did it?
That's Gattis. Just Josh Gattis after about every single play in the second half. They run four plays on offense.
Yeah, guys, that didn't work out well, did it?
You know, they do like to run. And then, you know, you're watching the Michigan State game, and it's like, if you just watch those two games every week, you would think that college football was kind of like it was 30 years ago.
Oh, plotting?
Yeah, plotting, 3 yards in a cloud of dust, yeah. Establish the run.
I will say this, though. Michigan had two really bad offensive games, and they were against Iowa. And they had more than two, but the two really bad ones, Iowa and Wisconsin, those turned out to be two pretty good defenses.
They had a pretty bad offensive game against Army.
Hello, Iowa!
I suppose.
Well, how many points did they have before overtime?
In Middle Tennessee.
No, they had 45 points or something, didn't they?
Yeah.
Anyway.
I don't know what to make, and I refuse. Nobody, no matter what anybody tells me this week, they have no chance in winning. No chance. Zero.
They do.
No, they don't! I just said don't tell me that. They have zero chance of winning.
Yeah, they do. And you'll be fired up.
Bet?
You'll be fired up to watch the game.
Oh, no, I'm going to watch
the game. You'll be fired up. You'll be living and dying on every play.
No, I'll be laughing.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I'm done with the team.
You're not done with the team.
I'm so done.
You're so not done.
I'm done with them. I can't handle it anymore.
Get ready for a hot
Boom!
Take.
Hot take. I wish I know how to quit you.
Exactly.
Oh,
that's what you
worst.
Should be saying.
Why is it so
Somebody
painful?
Did tweet that yesterday. I wish you knew how to quit Michigan football.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Michigan State, Wisconsin after the game. Get ready for a hot take. Mark D'Antonio was asked by a reporter who's kind of a long-time reporter. I think he's more of a blogger, but he's very, you know, he's a huge fan.
Okay.
More of a fan than a reporter would normally be. He asked him after the game if he thinks he made a mistake by not bringing in some new people to run the offense.
Yeah, that, you know, they kind of reshuffled the thing. Deck. They moved players around, which I've said it before. I'll say it again. That's the one thing I'm a little envious with Michigan State is they don't have the attrition of coaching staff that, say, Michigan has. You know, the coaches will stay there for a good amount of time.
True. But their offense has been terrible for a couple years now. And D'Antonio said, that's a dumbass question. And he's been...
I got it right here.
Let's see. Ooh, look how angry he is.
This year, lost to all three.
Always looks angry.
Scored 17 points. Seven games in, was it a mistake to not bring in new offensive staff? And if not so, how do you fix it?
Well, I don't think we ask those questions right now. We're six, seven games into the schedule. I think that's sort of a dumbass question, to be quite honest with you. Whoa.
Okay. Whoa. I think it is kind of a dumbass question. Okay. When you decide if a question is a good question or a bad question, it really, what's he going to say? He's not going to say,
I was outraged.
I should have brought in new people. He's got people on staff
who've
been there 7 years. So he can't say that. So it is kind of a dumbass question. That's my hot take.
No.
Hey. Let me answer this. Stupid question.
Boom. Hot take.
Nobody's Stupid saying question. That. Nobody's calling it a dumbass question. Everyone's reviling D'Antonio for saying it was a dumbass question. It was kind of a dumbass question.
There's one better answer he could have said to that question.
You want me to change? Fuck you.
That is a stupid question by a rather stupid person.
Could you imagine if a coach got up there and said,
I mean, 3 months after the season's over, maybe it's a good question, but.
No, I'm with you. It's pretty stupid because he's not going to answer.
That's why he can't answer it.
That's why most press conferences in a season are pointless.
They are.
All right, here's.
Coaches never say anything. The president says 20 times as much when he shouldn't.
Here's the hot takes on the letter. The Penn State letter from
ESPN I can't wait.
Game Day. Reese Davis is beside himself.
Should we recap the letter?
Sure. Yeah, they do a good job recapping it.
Just let them do it then.
All right. Although you have to hear.
You don't have to like sports to be interested in this. By the way, those of you complaining, it's not a sports podcast.
So ridiculous, the story.
This of Penn State, a 1966 graduate. The letter headed at the top, you see, we are Penn State. And here's the offensive part.
He wrote,
though the athletes are today superior to back in his day, he called his hair, well, awful. And then told him that
they skipped the front of the letter.
Who tell him he's not attractive. And he missed the old days of the way players look.
You don't
and
like my
Penn
hair,
State
do
reacted
you?
By getting behind Jonathan Sutherland.
Pause a second.
The football...
Wait, they reacted by getting mad. What, was he not going to be able to move forward after reading that letter from this idiot graduate of the class of 66?
No, and they certainly couldn't have just ignored it and thrown it in the garbage because it means nothing.
The guy
needs a haircut.
The guy was born in 1945. He's 74 years old. He's one of those geeky old alums who, you know, sees. And honestly,
why don't they invite him to come on the sideline and then wear a dreadlock wig or something?
He needs a haircut, looking all homeless and stuff.
The funniest thing about this is I think a lot of people agree with the guy that wrote letter. Because every time I see hair sticking out of a helmet, I go, God, people could just grab the hair. And they do sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
It's happened. They pull dreads out.
So it's not completely without foundation. It's he didn't say
but
it.
I am
it's utterly, not why he said it.
I'm utterly amazed that people are bothered by it. I don't know why.
I can't believe this is news. I can't believe this became news that a dumbass old alumni.
So this is the high pants chick that was wearing those. This is the Rup Raj thing. You're taking a troll.
One person.
You're going to lecture them.
And they're national news.
And he becomes news.
By the way, he's a fan. He's a fan of the school.
And an alum, yeah.
Yeah, and there's other alums who probably agree with him, as dumb as that is.
That I know and love brings people together. And embraces differences.
That wasn't black, what the letter's
white,
about.
Brown, long hair, short hair, no hair. They're all in that locker room together.
Yeah.
Ultimately,
they're on a football team.
This is the definition, an embodiment of what we are.
And this
is
idiot
all about.
Cheers for all those
Jonathan
guys.
Jonathan Sutherland is one of the most
Nobody
respected
cares.
Players in our program.
No one said he wasn't.
He's the ultimate example of what our program is all about.
Although those, you know, remarks were negative, you know, I think that as a team we realized, okay, we always got each other's backs. As you see, like, those things on social media. And as far as Sutherland goes, you know, he's really the gold standard of character in our locker room. He's my locker neighbor, and I'm proud to be next to him. He's
no one said his character was bad.
Always have an opinion about someone. But in locker room, I think that we've all been pretty tight together. And
what else has happened in that locker room?
Going emotionally, we'll carry him throughout the whole time and making sure he's okay.
I don't think Penn State needs to be talking
okay.
about any locker room
the
issue.
Brotherhood that we are.
The same locker room Sandusky was nailed on.
Yes.
All right, here's hot
epitomized
take.
Grace in class. He quoted Colossians about forgiveness. Now, this guy that wrote this letter has a reputation.
I just remember what dangerous territory Desmond starts wading into, and it's politics.
Yeah, boy.
And you just know
two
ESPN.
Penn State administrators walk into a butt.
And you just know ESPN hates that.
I completely forgot about the locker room business.
Really?
That is not
Penn
something
State
you want
locker
to get
room?
Into.
They go together like peanut butter and jelly.
You don't want to talk about Penn State's locker room.
They go together
Penn State
like...
administrator walks into a bar. Where's that smile? How about this one? Joe Paterno doesn't walk into a police station.
Stick to what you know. Don't talk about what you don't know.
Reputation for writing letters to the editor. And here's where we usually tell him that he ought to hush. Mm-hmm. And he should.
Right.
But I suggest he needs to write two more letters. Two more letters right now. Number one is he needs to write a public apology for embarrassing Penn State.
Up.
He's the
Boom,
one
hot
that
take.
Embarrassed Penn State, not their fan base, just this guy. And he needs to write another one to Jonathan Sutherland and tell him he was wrong and try to show the same
it.
Kind of grace
wow,
that Sutherland
that's
showed
a hot
him.
Take.
Absolutely. I agree right. with you 100%.
Be careful,
when I
Desmond.
I heard about the letter and read it. I was just disappointed and disgusted that now we live in an area where the climate is so toxic that he would write such a racist and bigoted letter. And I call it racist because Trace McSorley had tattoos, and Trace McSorley never got a letter like
we
that.
We don't know if he did or not.
And attach his name to it so comfortably with no worry, no concern about the consequences of repercussions. That's really disturbing to me. So I agree with you. He needs to write two more letters.
Yeah, he needs to make this right.
I'm just
Penn State, I'll tell you what. This was not the fan base.
Franklin
this was
a
job. Fan. The fan base got behind him and as well, rightfully so.
Just,
you guys said it all. To me, the reaction from James Franklin was perfection.
Yes.
I think it may have a way
wow.
of galvanizing.
Extend his
team.
Contract.
Where are the dissenting opinions
galvanize
on this
the team?
That's what I was saying. They can rally around something
really
dumb.
Oh, my God.
The team needs something to rally around.
That's the great thing about
Sounds like
room.
The captain is really
that.
Soft.
The only colors are blue and white for Penn State, for those players. Wow. So, to me, this will bring this team together and I think make them a tighter bond within that locker room.
Yeah, as tight as Sandusky. Sorry.
Why don't these sports guys just talk about sports?
Hey, where is Lee Corso? Can we have his opinion on
yeah.
the What if old man Corso?
I agree. His hair is awful.
Reminds me of when I was coaching back in Indiana. And
Everybody had buzz cuts. Everybody was a dress code. There was a hair code.
That's the thing. This guy,
one black guy with an afro,
is an alum of what was it, 66 or 69?
Yeah, 66.
So he's like 70, 80 years old. You know, this is an old school dude.
Yeah.
No, he's an idiot. So I don't know.
No, he's just an old guy. Yeah. He's an old guy who likes old. He's like Tom Mazzaway in 20 years.
But there were some wacky hairstyles back in the 70s. Did it bother him then?
I don't know. He only seems to get upset with the black players, as Desmond pointed out. He didn't write a letter to Trace McSorley. And I don't know if Desmond's done his homework on that. Trace McSorley has tattoos. Desmond tells on Trace McSorley. Now he's going to get a letter.
That's one of the when he gets done with those other two letters, he's going to write one to Trace McSorley.
Did he mention tattoos in another letter, or was it the same letter?
I think it was the same letter. I didn't even notice that kid had tattoos. Everyone has.
Everyone has
now.
Tattoos.
Yeah, it's a big deal. So stupid.
No, it's so dumb.
Stop talking about your locker room.
That too. Our friends and original sponsor, Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, have launched their Jeep Adventure Days, and you better believe it's as exciting as it sounds, because during Jeep Adventure Days, you can finally get the brand new Jeep you've been yearning for, like a 19 Jeep Compass Limited for as low as $166 a month, or if you prefer the Mac Daddy, you can lease a new loaded 19 Jeep Grand Cherokee as low as $268 a month, and then there's Ram Trucks, Dodge Ram. Go lease a new 19 Ram Crew Cab Bighorn Edition as low as $145 a month. And yes, Zot has an ass ton of Rams to choose from also. See details in their massive inventory at dealsinad.com. And we had a nice dinner.
Yeah.
With our winners. And
Todd Zot was there.
That's a lot
Todd
of fun.
Zot was there.
Gabara and Anthony from Zot Ford.
Who's the couple that have been together since they're 12?
That's Amy and, oh man, I can't remember his name. I think it's Scott.
Could be.
Oh boy, I'm sorry.
Had a couple shots.
Amy's the winner. They're great.
Yeah.
Oh my God, they've been together since they were 12.
I know.
Had a baby at 17.
I quizzed them about it. Yeah. I know.
You got 21-year-old. No, they were big fans, and it was great to meet them.
The winner,
and
very nice.
Our other winners, the two girls,
Jamie.
Yes.
Jamie. Mm-hmm. Okay, that sounds familiar.
Yeah.
And her girlfriend, who she called. And she couldn't answer because she called her day of. It took her 50 minutes. She had to process the enormity of it.
So cute.
But she did show up, and she had a great time.
Yeah,
everybody had a great time.
It was a lot of fun.
It was fun.
It was.
It was good.
And I'm forgetting.
Did you rate my Asperger?
Mike and Katie.
They gave it to me. They put it in front of me. Oh, Mike and Katie. That's right.
And he bolted to go see Nick Kroll.
I know. He bolted.
Like I was left at the altar.
Katie had to go home and take care of the 5-year-old twins.
I know.
How did that work out?
I don't know. Pretty good night for him.
He was pumped too.
I don't blame him. He should be. It was a great
night.
Was
it Nick Kroll at the
Royal
RMC? Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
It was a fun.
It was a good time. Yeah. Gabara was there. Everybody was there. I'm trying to think if there was it.
Riley stepped by for a second.
Yes, he did. And they did put the Maz burger. No, you know what? You ate the Maz burger. I ate the Mesa burger. The Maz burger, I think, is the one without all the extra stuff on it.
Okay.
I think.
All I know is they brought my burger and you ate it.
No, they put a burger in front of me. I ordered a burger, so I ate the burger.
Yeah, I would have done the same thing.
And then they put your burger in front of you.
And you ate it.
So, see, I don't even look at what my meal is. I just saw a burger.
Yeah,
I'll eat it.
Because you're not a picky eater.
I had no complaints. Brandon, however, fully investigated what was in front of him. Determined it was not what he ordered.
Brandon
burger's
looked,
a burger.
Brandon looked like one of the winners too. He looked like Mike.
Yeah.
So every time I would see like,
oh wow,
handsome.
That's funny.
He was handsome. It was freaking me out. I don't know why.
He was from up mine.
Sounds like you want to be in the Penn State locker room with Mike.
It's from my neck of the woods too.
Well, you all the people up there
that's
look
right.
The same. That's racist.
We do.
I guess they all look the same.
Everybody in the thumb.
Dr. Yellow supports us and has for a couple years now. We've had about 100 people get life changing surgery. Either the custom CATS LASIK, the most precise in the world, or what's called lens exchange for people 45 plus who can't stand the reading glasses. Eye surgery is generally a well thought out decision. It's important to go with the best and most experienced, and Yaldo is number one in Michigan. Over 30,000 LASIK procedures, tens of thousands of lens exchange, and he doesn't lure you in with promises of low cost, but then he does! Because if you shop around and you find a price that is lower than or something you think is exceptional, take it to Dr. Yaldo. He promises Drew and Mike listeners he'll beat any LASIK offer you get. Get the best, pay the least. The evaluation is free. Call 800-398-EYES, 800-398-EYES, or go to YaldoEyesHunter.com.
I love your eyes.
So there. I'm just going to wrap up the weekend by pointing out the...
Gross.
I just couldn't hold back.
Sounded so
just
wet.
Could not hold back. Yeah, that did sound... Come here, check your pants.
Your silences.
Sorry.
Saying a lot.
You're saying?
He's got a huge smile on his face.
I got a little getting even to do.
The amazing performances of Anibal Sanchez
and
Max Scherzer.
Yeah.
Sanchez has a no-hitter, former Tiger, Anibal Sanchez. Yes, that Anibal Sanchez had a no-hitter for 7 2/3 in game one of the NLCS. Max Scherzer had a no-hitter for 6 innings.
I will say this about Anibal Sanchez, though. Nobody was up in arms when they got rid of him because his last year wasn't that good.
Right.
No, his last 2 years.
Shit, he went down to Toledo.
Yeah, that's right. And he was, ever since then, though, have you seen his stats ever since then?
Oh, he's pitched great.
3.39 ERA, 1.186 whip, way less hits than innings pitched. 269 Ks.
In how many innings?
302.
Wow. That's how many walks?
100. So
My dad said you ruined baseball.
Three walks and
how many hits in 269 innings?
259.
Boy, this is
302 innings.
Turning into a sports podcast.
No, but I mean,
I'm intrigued. It's amazing, and Max Scherzer is just as incredible, if not more. This was the first time two pitchers have gone 5 innings pitching no-hit baseball since the 2013 Tigers-Boston series when Anibal Sanchez and Max Scherzer did it in games 1 and 2.
Isn't that great?
How about that? 6 years ago, Tigers won game 1-1 when Johnny Peralta singled in Miguel Cabrera in
the
6th.
One I called? What year was that, you said?
2013.
Oh, no. Okay, that was a different one. When Peralta hit a home run.
Game 2, Scherzer has a no-hitter for 5 2/3. He ends up going 7. Strikes out 13. Tigers lead 5-1 when Max leaves the game. And then Avila and Cabrera had homered in the game. I think Martinez had a couple doubles. They're up 5-1. And then, of course.
2 out. Hard hit into right. Back at the wall. Tie game.
Torrey Hunter tumbles over the fence.
That stupid cop.
Yeah, with his one fist and one open hand. Remember that cop became
a celebrity? He shouldn't be rooting for a team. He's a cop.
He became a celebrity. Remember he was signing autographs?
Oh, I know. How stupid.
She would have made that catch. It would have been the greatest catch in postseason history. And then wasn't it game 3 where it was the pitcher's duel?
Yeah, Verlander lost 1-0.
I went to that game, and I went on a smoke break during the Mike Napoli solo home run.
Oh.
So I missed all the action. There wasn't like any hits the entire time I sat down. It sucked.
Yeah, Verlander gave 4 hits in 8 innings and lost 1-0. I forgot who pitched for Boston that game.
I'm drawing.
Was it Lester?
No, it was another dude that was a journeyman, but he pitched great that day.
Well, anyway, total craziness, and you know, it's funny how much sports non-sports is going on all the time. It seems like I saw that Antonio Brown wants to play for the Patriots again.
Yeah.
Now Kraft, of course, he's not going to play. Kraft's not going to have him back. But apparently the players don't want him anyway.
Really?
They really were not enjoying Antonio Brown. They weren't feeling him.
He was there a week.
What?
He was there a week or 2 weeks.
Yeah, but look at all that happened. It was, what about Antonio? I mean, all they get asked about is Antonio Brown. There's something. There was crazy news every day about him.
We'll see when they play a real defense, because they really have not played a defense this year, if they would want him back.
Honestly, I can't believe they ever signed him after his activities in Oakland. He was such an a-hole.
Yeah.
And so disrespectful of management. Who's MO?
The Patriots. They'll take anybody.
And they've never taken anybody with this much crap.
Well, I mean, has anybody?
No.
Has anybody
no one
had
has.
This much crap?
No one has.
They, you know, they take it on Haynesworth. They took on Randy. Randy Moss is probably the biggest equivalent.
I don't.
And he was fine in New England, and he was a problem. The second time through with Minnesota.
I don't think anyone competes with Antonio Brown for B. I don't think anyone can tell him what to do or
Did
say.
Antonio Brown ever dress down the caterer in the locker room and have Brett,
Maybe
Favre,
not.
Brett Favre throw his helmet at him? And then he was cut the week later.
Odell Beckham, by the way, I saw he has a hood ornament of himself on his Rolls Royce.
Well, why wouldn't he? Stupid
questions. I know.
Stupid.
And you know the watch. Was you wear a $300,000 watch or something?
Yeah. And then the next week, a $2 million one while warming up.
Whatever.
It's fun.
I guess
it's great.
And then
do you think
also,
that letter writer would write a letter to him?
Yes, I do. I do. The Steve Kerr tweet today really cracked me up. People were so angry because Steve Kerr was tweeting about, you know, this whole China thing with the NBA. If you haven't been following the story,
he's being a total pussy about it too. He should just call him out.
The NBA makes, I guess, about $1.5 billion off the China market, and the Houston Rockets ownership tweeted out something about getting behind the Hong Kong protesters.
Their GM did. He tweeted out like
the GM.
Pretty common meme about standing with the people of Hong Kong.
Yeah,
which, yeah, exactly. But China's so sensitive about
And it may destroy the NBA's deal for $1.5 billion. The commissioner's apologizing for it,
which failed on both sides.
I don't blame China.
And we're still under, I mean, still like really iffy as to whether, over one deleted tweet.
China!
By the way, today I saw pictures of LeBron James and Curry holding Chinese flags. They're, statues of them, or like they're like giant bobbleheads, and they're holding Chinese flags at the arena the game was in.
Wait, recent? Like now?
Yes!
Oh, boy.
I know.
No, it's a joke.
It's pretty funny.
I really wish that they would all just admit it's about the, what did you say, $1.6 billion?
Yeah, it's about the money.
Well, to Steve Kerr, it's like,
human rights abuses don't matter when you make a lot of money.
What would happen to Steve Kerr?
Steve Kerr feels that the U.S. has human rights violations, too, because people own AR-15s. Here's what he had to say.
It has not come up in terms of people asking me about it, people discussing it, nor has our record of human rights abuses
doesn't
come up
close
either.
To China's record.
Things that our country needs to look at and resolve, that hasn't come up either. So none of us are perfect, and we all have different issues that we have to get to. And saying that is my right as an American doesn't mean that I hate my country. It means I want to address things, right?
That's not what this is about, though.
Oh, boy, we're wading into a lot of things here. Yeah, I don't think I'd compare human rights violations in the U.S. with China.
It's not even close.
No, of course not. It's not.
I wish he would just go after China. Because you know he really feels it's bullshit.
Yeah, he does.
So it'd be nice.
Put the money. Put the money.
What could the NBA do to him? I'm really wondering.
Nothing. Not much.
Well, they're not going to fine him.
Get blackballed. Kaepernick style.
That would look bad.
I don't know. He could just become a big problem.
Oh, he would be a big problem.
Yeah. $1.5 billion.
Wouldn't you like to see him do it?
I don't know. Yeah, it might be amusing.
Someone speak honestly about it.
Mm-hmm. It really kind of points, the whole thing really points out the whole China situation, which is pretty abominable.
Mm-hmm. But we're not. And no one will do anything about it.
It's amazing that the country would deprive its people of something they love so much over one deleted tweet. One tweet.
Did you see who wants to help fix it, by the way, the problems with China?
Oh, wait. Let me see. John Cryer?
No. It's pretty obvious when you think about China, Asia.
Oh, Rodman. Rodman.
Singapore, Tokyo, China, everything.
He wants to go over there and fix it.
That'd be great.
I don't know what that means.
Could he win another Nobel Peace Prize?
Another one.
Didn't he win?
He should have.
Korea? It
would have been great if he would have won it. Because, you know, that thing's solved. North Korea.
Yeah.
No one's worried about North Korea anymore.
I know. He's a great guy.
China!
I don't know. He did kind of open up talk. I will.
And what happened? Although that's not his fault that nothing has happened since then. Rodman did what Rodman needed.
Did a great job.
I mean, despite Kim Jong-un being, you know, a weirdo and you never know what he's going to do type of thing, I actually believe that the U.S.-North Korea relations now are better than they were under his father and stuff like that. So we'll see.
Okay.
They're the same. Nice supporting a terrible regime, Brandon.
I didn't say anything about supporting him, but I do believe that there's a better relationship.
I think Rodman should have won the Nobel Peace Prize. I'm with you.
I think he should have,
too. I got your back, Brandon.
I do think Rodman deserves a little bit of credit for going somewhere that no American went.
He got paid.
He still went.
They're friends.
You're right.
They're personal friends.
He got paid.
He got paid a ton of money to go.
He got to go over there, get extremely drunk.
Go on CNN drunk.
Embarrass his NBA friends who he drank
with. Also lost to the team.
But he also got
the Korean team, which he was paid for.
And you know they shuffled in so many North Korean women for him to just nail while he's there.
I couldn't even go home. I couldn't even go home.
Listen how upset he is.
It was a great part of the 30 for 30.
He doesn't talk to his 13-year-old friend anymore, though. Doesn't seem.
I know, that was kind of weird.
They repatch that situation.
Hey, do we have Zot Ford copy? Because I don't see
it. It should be the first one on there, or second one behind.
Okay.
Oh, you know what, though?
Hang on.
It's not the new one. Hold on.
Oh, yeah. I think they said an audio one. Let's see.
Pretty nice showroom you got.
Well, thank you. We have a lot of pride here. We've done a lot of work lately, complete renovations. We got beautiful cars, beautiful surroundings.
Yeah.
Beautiful women.
Oh, yeah, they are pretty hot, huh?
They're my closers, and they help people who are slightly hesitant to buy cars. So if you happen to be a man,
yeah.
Ashley over there will suck your dick.
That's
I like how you work.
If you happen to be a woman, Scott will finger you with his penis.
What?
That's the kind of fun and games we have around here.
Listen, we're going to get the voice checked. I don't think that's Steve Gabara.
No,
I really don't like him. That is really...
Well, that wasn't Anthony?
That was cheap shot. Anthony? Oh, I didn't think about Anthony.
Could have been Anthony.
I don't think it's Anthony. Anthony was at the dinner, too.
Yeah, he's a blast.
Anthony's everywhere.
He is everywhere. He's a good dude.
Anthony's cool. He's running the joint now, isn't he?
Got some good stories.
When Gabar's not around, he's in charge, Al Haig style, I believe.
He just takes sure charge, Al Haig style. I like that.
Gabar,
just declare yourself in charge.
Hey, he's in the copy, too. Gabar, Anthony, and all our friends at Zot Ford and Holly pride themselves on making buying and leasing vehicles simple, fun, and easy, all while saving you time and money. Now Zot Ford and the hottest sales staff in Oakland County. Oh, that's good. It's a little incriminating, isn't it?
Doesn't help.
Possible audio. They're taking it to another level with employee pricing for everyone. That's right. You pay what they pay. There's nothing more frustrating than shopping for a fresh new Ford and seeing an advertised price only to be told you don't qualify because you aren't a Ford employee. Well, you can kiss that garbage goodbye with Zot Ford's...
Best $200 I ever spent.
Zot Ford's employee pricing for everyone. Everyone can lease a new 19 Ford F-150 Super Crew XLT 4x4 as low as $89 on a 24-month lease. Or how about leasing the new 19 Ford Ranger Super Cab XLT 4x4 as low as $155 a month, also for 24 short months. Hurry, because Zot Ford's employee pricing for everyone won't last long. See details in massive inventory at... DealsInTheD.com. And then, there was some rock and roll news today.
Oh, here's one last sports thing that got emailed to us. Did you see what the guy was wearing behind the Red Wings bench? What's this versus the Leafs? Look at the guy on the right.
Did not see this. Oh,
I'm sorry, on the left. The guy
Look
on the
left. Look at that. The Drew and Mike sweatshirt.
Yeah, right behind the bench.
How about that?
He looks very angry, too, whatever's happening at that moment.
Well, they lost that game. So.
I know. He was not happy.
Well, he's a super fan.
But, lots of good coverage, so that's cool.
Wow. That's cool. Look at that. He's a big fan, too.
We should do a contest so we can get the logo on TV.
I know two major times it's been on.
Well,
the Tiger
fan. Yeah.
Oh, my God. He was so fired up. And it was
that was intense.
The Tigers were like 50 and 100. And he's like wildly cheering for the last out. Kept going back to him. I don't know. I still have his picture, though.
One of his buddies ended up texting the boner line, 209-66-BONER. And he mentioned, hey, that's my friend. But I don't know if we ever got in touch with him.
Oh, that reminds me. Coming up, the brother of a listener who was in the row that the guy puked on the Spirit Airlines flight. Isn't that incredible?
Yes. Spirit Airlines, where somebody puked.
All right. I'm going to the Beatles tribute band. 1964, The Tribute, is at the Flagstar Strand Theater in Pontiac. And if you go to flagstarstrand.com or Ticketmaster, you can use the promo code Drew for 25% off. Rolling Stone call them the best Beatles tribute on earth, and you can catch them live October the 18th at Flagstar Strand Theater in Pontiac. These are the kind of guys that when they come around, they don't always need a lot of advertising. They sell tickets everywhere they go. They're on Ticketmaster. They're not just like somebody who pay $3 to see in a bar.
Name one other band that's done that.
They're big time. If you want to feel the magic of those historic live performances, you got to check out 1964, The Tribute. They've been doing it for a while, too. They are true pros. And on the rock and roll front, it seems to be being reported in more and more places Eddie Van Halen is having problems with his cancer returning, throat cancer that he had that's been treated for a long time. And I guess they say for about the last 5 years he's been getting treatment for it. And
here or over in Europe?
You know, they were suggesting in Germany.
Yeah.
And the other thing, which I didn't feel like they really needed to add, was they're suggesting that it's from sucking on a metal guitar pick.
What?
I know. I never heard of such a thing.
Isn't he a massive smoker?
He is. Yeah, I think he's always been a big smoker. And drinker, too.
Wait, what's the... I'm intrigued. What is the deal with the
metal? I don't
know.
Is
some kind of weird metal?
I have no idea. But if he's had it since 2000, then I would think he would have stopped sucking on metal guitar picks.
Can he not get a plastic one that's as strong? And is he sucking on it even when he's not playing?
I don't know. It sounded kind of silly, really. And then, also in music news, Ronnie Wood's documentary is coming out, and in there, he reveals that he used to bring a virtual science lab to parties and a Bunsen burner so he could smoke cocaine, so he could freebase right in front of the other guests.
That was good blow, man.
And some of the other guys in the band were commenting on it, like, yeah, we've hung in there with Ronnie, and so where Keith Richards said, he's got a great immune system. That was Keith's comment.
That's what he was looking for. God, that's weird to have to cart all that stuff around. Like, I was talking to someone about doing heroin. It's like, what a pain in the ass that would be to have to take a whole kit with a tourniquet and a spoon.
You got
to
tie yourself off, too.
Yeah, it's a lot of work.
It is. Although, yeah, I think you can tie yourself off with a lot of stuff. You can probably just tear up a shirt.
Also, if you forget something?
Yeah,
if you forget part of your tourniquet?
Yeah. But you got to have the needles.
I guess you could borrow a spoon from somebody.
No, you got to have a spoon. That's funny. On Intervention, there was a story once in this mom was saying that I keep running out of spoons.
Aw.
Yeah.
That's the problem in the house.
Boy.
You can't get too many spoons.
And the needles in the garbage and the needles in the pants pockets.
Have you read any more of the Elton John stuff that's come out of
the book? Yeah, I've read a little bit more about it. I'm
the
still
Michael
waiting
Jackson
for my book.
Part of the
what
book?
Was the Michael Jackson part?
This is part of the Michael Jackson one, which it's Elton really captured his own voice. I could see him saying all this stuff.
Also, I wanted to mention that Tekashi 6ix9ine signed a $10 million deal.
Great.
From prison.
Cool. Yeah. That's a bad bet.
You know, bad bet or not, doesn't it seem kind of insane, a record company signing this guy who's committed all these crimes.
Who was the record
company? To a $10 million deal. I'd never heard of him.
Is this more like the gang throwing money at him, or a gang throwing money at him?
No, I think it's a real record company.
So
did you read about it, Brandon?
Like Columbia?
I did not.
No.
I just saw that he's planning his post-prison career.
That'll
but
be great.
I don't know how long he's going to get. He's snitching so much that he actually might get a very, very, very short prison stay.
How could this guy get out so fast?
Because he's tattletaling, and he's really providing them with a lot of information to convict other people.
And so he gets a huge deal, and so he can, I guess, buy a big fancy house with lots of security and lots of security guards. And
it's his old label, and one of the albums has to be in English, the other in Spanish, which is interesting because listening to it, I didn't really think the words were the strong point of the song.
Not really. Yeah, I didn't know people listened for
the
words.
Oh, this is interesting. It's unclear how much will be from pre-recorded material versus new stuff, so it's probably just old shit that he owns.
And if he's in prison, he can record in prison?
Well, no, because he's already recorded the stuff. They're just going to release it.
Oh, it's all pre-recorded
stuff. That's what it sounds like.
Oh, okay. Wow.
And they're an independent record label based out of Los Angeles.
Well, good for them.
So I'm glad they have $10 million to waste.
And, of course, the
although it probably is huge for them.
The suggestion is that the more trouble you get in, the more records you sell.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how that works. I don't quite understand that. But I guess people like records by people who are in lots of trouble. So... Street why crowd. Couldn't Gacy have put out a rap album?
How come Manson's record didn't do better?
I don't honestly.
Probably
because
he never killed
know.
Anybody.
True.
Everyone knew he was a fraud.
Manson. I would say Manson's music is as good as a lot of these people's music.
Yeah,
maybe he was just ahead of his time.
As good.
Well, yeah, as good. How good do you have to be?
He was a monkey, with a monkey, just like a monkey. All you monkeys.
It's pretty cool.
He threw the N-word in a lot. Nice false end. I mean, what if Epstein put out a rap album?
Oh, there's great Epstein news today.
I know.
Too.
Bill Gates, his best friend.
Oh, boy.
No Melinda Gates mentioned, by the way.
I honestly, I feel like this almost should be a Twitter poll. I can't decide if Bill Gates is so much of a nerd that he really just wanted the money for philanthropic endeavors that he was doing, or if he's such a nerd that he wanted some of the women that he's trafficking.
Why would he need Epstein to do philanthropic? He has a $2 billion foundation.
Well, that's why, because he wants the money for the foundation. I mean, he now hits up everybody for money.
But Epstein was hitting him up for money.
Oh, I thought
he gave money to the MIT lab.
Oh, all right, never mind then. He wanted some pussy.
I'm kind of with you. Well, he was at that club in Miami.
I feel like he was dancing
in that club.
Oh, balls!
The younger woman.
It was a funny dancing video.
I just felt like he was such a nerd that sex didn't exist to him.
Well, with Melinda, it might not. It will exist the way she wants.
Yeah. I don't know.
If she pegs him.
I'm falling deeper and deeper into conspiracy theories with this Epstein thing.
Oh, no.
There sure is a lot of power connected to this guy.
So now Gates had him murdered?
I don't believe Gates had him murdered, no. But I do believe, I'm starting to think, since we can't figure out how the hell this Putz made his money, specifically the $500 million.
Well, we know a lot about how he made his money.
It sounds to me like a lot of it came through other people giving money to charity and him taking
kickbacks,
money.
And him also laundering money in Europe.
I think ultimately this dude turned his profession into trafficking young women for sex. That's why we're seeing all these different people. And that's where he's getting all of his money. And I think Bill Gates is probably tied up with that, along with that weirdo...
Ghislaine?
Not Ghislaine, but that
Leslie?
Weirdo...
Leslie
Wexner?
The scientist guy and... one knew.
That guy.
George Mitchell.
Yeah, George Mitchell and what's his name? Richardson? Bill Richardson?
Yeah, Bill Richardson.
It sounds to me like he was turning a lot of these people onto some action.
Those people don't have money. Those people were nailing the chicks.
They have money.
Oh, Richardson?
Yeah, they have power.
They have power. Yeah,
I think a lot of these people were tapping into the...
And Epstein was the only person that could bring the whole syndicate down, and so...
Boom! Hot take!
I don't know.
How easy
he wasn't going to, though.
How easy is it for Bill Gates to nail an 18-year-old girl?
That's naive, Mark.
Probably pretty
easy. To think
that
he would be silent for the rest of his life.
Yeah, but if he just goes hangs out with Epstein, it's real easy. You know, we're getting some philanthropic stuff,
but now you have more people involved, and you're more likely to be outed.
Well, no, but he thinks it's just a rich friend who has just as much to hide.
The biggest pedophile ring possibly ever.
Besides Pizzagate.
And one dude had the opportunity to bring the whole thing down.
And Spielberg and Tom Hanks.
And it just so happens that the cameras that are pointed to the most prolific person
in the prison system.
Really?
Yeah, that prison's
so
a dump.
I'm
surprised El Chapo's not out already.
So naive.
He was a very important prisoner to be ignoring.
Well, they didn't know that guy wasn't even a guard that was working there.
Exactly. You'd think that if it's a high-profile person that they would put a guard who knows what he's doing there.
Yeah, because they're totally incompetent. You guys assume that everybody knows who Epstein
is.
You would think the warden would be blown out!
Or named. You still can't see a picture of that warden.
No, nothing. Anywhere. So you Google it.
I've been looking for it, and all it brings up is some soccer coach over in Africa. I swear to God.
It's because he has such a common name.
Oh, it's very strange. Oh. It is very strange. But, you know, somebody's going to get to the bottom of it, I think. I don't know who. Maybe Julie K. Brown. Unless she dies soon, she'd probably commit suicide.
If all that happened, then I'd believe it.
By the way, Ronan Farrow. But does anybody have any thoughts on Ronan Farrow just off the top of your head?
I think
what you and I texted about over the weekend?
I think he's really digging his heel down and, I don't know, he's destroying this thing, man. He's killing it.
I got an idea. I would never tell him any secret.
Because it seems to me that Ronan Farrow, and I saw his interview on GMA, and he presents himself very well. His work sounds really
good.
Yeah. However, he also, he reminds me of an attorney, you know, like to say, my client never had sex with so-and-so, you know, as if they know. And I don't think he can know all the things he claims to know.
Well, I think he's just presenting his sources' side.
Yeah.
But that's not the same thing as knowing it. That's
sure.
I think he's a little overly sure of himself.
Selling a book, though.
And yeah, he is. I'm really interested, though, in what he says. He claims that NBC has loads of non-disclosures and that Matt Lauer has loads of them. I think we need to know that. And I'd like to know what that is, because that to me would be fascinating.
You heard the news story that came out about MSNBC president Phil Griffin.
Yeah, and that's a great place to start. Because
I actually laughed out loud when I read this part.
The blown up picture of Maria Menounos's
vagina.
Yeah. She had a wardrobe malfunction coming out of the water somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he zoomed in on it, printed it out, and went in to a staff meeting, went, not bad. He, quote, exhaled hard, looked at it in front of staffers, and went, not bad.
I mean,
which, you know.
How big a crime is that?
It's not a big crime, but it's.
You like what you see.
I think it's hilarious.
I think she's hot.
Could you imagine, like, I don't know, at a meeting, at like a 105.1 meeting, and one of the bosses.
I could see somebody walking in with a close-up.
One of the bosses.
I could see some of that
maybe
taped to our wall in that office.
I could, too.
Us doing it, yeah. I mean, the first thing I did was look up the picture.
Far be it from me to work with people who would do stuff like that and then cast aspersions on the MSNBC president.
It's
not smart.
Is it this one?
And on the record, I was going to say, it's way better than not bad. It's pretty hot.
This one here?
I like it? Maria Menounos.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, there's a whole series of them.
Oh, my goodness.
Go to Celebrity Jihadism series.
Nice.
There you go.
Oh, wow.
Well, there you go. And then he also, this is the one that was really funny. In the early 90s, he took some female producers to a peep show.
Really?
And they implied that he made them go. Was he president of something in the early 90s?
Was that when he was in charge? He was in charge of Nightly News for a while.
Well, let's look it up. What's this guy's name?
Phil Griffin.
And he's one of the three that helped kill the Weinstein, which is the real crime here, isn't it?
Well, I think there's a lot of crimes, it sounds like to me. This is just, okay, let's see.
I do laugh, though.
He's 62, so he would have been.
Fox News seemed to be really obsessed with Ronan Farrow. Every time I put him on, it's like, do you guys not remember what happened here?
Fox News, you mean put him on to talk about the current?
He was on a lot, and I saw The Five talking about it. And I know it's a great
interview.
I know it's a great story, and he's a great interview, but doesn't it seem weird like when CBS talks about it?
Oh, yeah. It does, but the reporters are doing
ABC
their job.
ABC shaking in their boots? When's all the ABC stuff going to come out?
I know.
There's got to be something going on at ABC.
Okay, and 87 is a producer at USA Today, the television show. After it was canceled, he returned to Today's Show, and NBC had several jobs. Senior broadcast producer for NBC Nightly News. He led NBC News coverage of the O.J. Simpson trial. So he's a producer. Well, O.J. Simpson trial, that's later 90s. So he's not there.
I got a little getting even to do.
Do we even know he's their boss? I mean, did they have to go?
I don't know. Probably not.
I mean, you can't make someone go to a peep show. No. I don't know. I just thought
unless he's holding a mandatory meeting there.
It just seems.
Wait, a peep show in the late 90s?
Early 90s.
Were there peep shows in the early
90s? I don't know. But he took two female producers, supposedly, to a peep show. And he made it sound like they were handcuffed to him or something. Maybe they wanted to go. How do we know they didn't want to go? And again, is this thing, I go back to, this Matt Lauer thing, this transactional sex. He rapes this girl in the ass, and then she proceeds to have sex with him because she has to. So, I mean, by that theory, anyone Matt Lauer has sex with, anyone at NBC he has sex with, it could be having transactional sex. They could feel is anyone he has sex with, is that a transaction?
I don't think transactional sex is illegal. I think it's non-consensual sex, which it sounds like the anal sex was.
No, but I mean the sex after that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not defending Matt Lauer. I don't want to defend Matt Lauer.
Maybe she feels
this idea that someone, it makes it sound like anyone at NBC has to have sex with Matt Lauer or else their career's in
trouble. That might have been a rule. Who knows? Certainly so.
You know what I mean?
He wielded a lot of power over there.
But how can you say that anyone, any female under him has to have sex with him? Has to, or their career's in trouble.
Well, I think it depends on how it starts.
Brandon?
I have no idea.
Don't you think it depends on how it starts? I mean, if it's a consensual affair and it begins.
Well,
with,
if you rape someone.
Probably not. But if you rape somebody, I could easily see how.
I mean, then
how,
he has to have sex with them as long as he wants to?
I don't know.
Her perspective, I could see how she would feel that way.
I still think that if we were to find out that they had anal sex afterwards, that it kind of takes away from her entire point of the first one. So,
well, no.
We know that they banged.
Really, he hasn't said it right. I think he would say it, too.
I know, because he wrote in that letter, he wrote that he had oral, vaginal and anal sex with her.
He probably would call it fed
during the Sochi Olympics, but after that they continued to bang and bang and bang,
which isn't unusual.
No, it's not. I don't know that it's unusual, but it was a long affair.
She knew what she wanted,
and she wanted him after it was over too.
Maybe.
She did in Maybe. A way.
He ghosted her. Yeah, he broke and she was angry.
I don't think that's that.
That doesn't sound transactional. Surprising. That she's angry does
no,
not
but
sound
transactional.
Sexist.
She was so angry.
It makes him look worse, but it's not illegal.
But transactional also makes it sound that she didn't like it or she didn't want it, that she was forced to do it.
You don't see how she could feel that way? If she,
yeah,
if she
I do.
Was raped?
I do. Well,
but that's what I'm saying. With all their different sexual exploits that happened afterwards, and we don't even have a direct number. We just know that they banged over and over and over again. That if any butt stuff comes into play, I just think it.
Well, also the fact that she was angry when he ghosted her, and right. she wanted to get back together with him.
Yeah,
that I don't know. I don't want, and I'm not casting any judgment on her. But I kind of agree with him. Well, no, I don't.
I was telling
that.
Brandon,
I don't want to say anything.
I go, when are all
just
the,
forget it.
When are all the whoppers coming out from Brian Williams that he banged a bunch of chicks to? So remember when NBC's cute little scandal was Brian Williams' whoppers?
Oh, yeah.
His lies?
That was a wild story.
Could so you imagine just trying to top Matt Lauer's? It's like, Matt Lauer banged 20 chicks here. I banged 300.
Honestly, I can't believe Brian Williams is still on TV.
I know, but nobody knows when or where. The show's not even named after him. It's called The 11th Hour. It's on at 11 o'clock on MSNBC. It probably gets 200 people.
He's on 11 p.m.?
Yeah, it's true. Nobody watches that. I'm surprised he's still
on. No, I've never even seen him. I wouldn't even know he was on if somebody didn't tell me. But
like, honestly, I feel bad for him now.
I would just love to find out what all these NDAs at NBC are. That would be really interesting. And, you know, what he promised, Ronan Farrow, and he tends to deliver what he promises, was that we're going to find out that NDAs are a big part of the entertainment, the political, and the just all those
business,
worlds
all big business.
Are just loaded with NDAs. And, you know, I wondered that when this R. Kelly thing was going, I'm like, wait a second, you can just pay someone and make a crime go, whew, poof.
I guess.
Ooh-ah.
It used to be to protect corporate, you know, secrets and proprietary information.
Well, I understand
so
that.
Yeah,
but,
no, that should be
a rape?
No.
A did crime? Lauer does Lauer he, I wonder if he has an NDA with this girl.
Oh, like she reached a settlement with him?
Yeah.
I don't know if
his NBC paid her.
Has anything ever been filed against
her? I don't know. No, an NDA we wouldn't know about.
Mm-hmm.
But the R. Kelly thing, I mean, that is so fucked up. I still can't believe you can do that. You can commit a crime with an underage girl and you can pay them a lot of money and whew. But now all the girls are talking, so apparently that's not true. I don't know. It's just weird. Something seems so wrong with that.
Did you see the
from all standpoint
the story about NBC News Chief Noah Oppenheim? So apparently staffers at NBC are just like furious that all these NDAs exist.
It's funny how all these people are furious. We're furious. We can't work with Billy Bush.
I know.
We can't be in the room with Norm McDonald.
Yeah, because they're crying.
Yeah.
So staffers at NBC have been passing.
By the way, staffers at NBC, it sounds like they all knew about Matt Lauer and this girl for all their outrage and all the Hollywood outrage about Weinstein. Everybody knew it.
Well, now I understand why it would be transactional. If everybody knew it and nothing could be done about it. I mean, he had a lot of power there, as
no,
evidenced by the fact that the second he left, GMA took over the number one spot.
Yeah, I just... This is a little complicated.
That's incredible.
Who knows? I don't know. Did she enjoy the sex? I don't know. I wasn't there.
I think from the NBC standpoint, was it worth keeping him?
Well, that's how NBC looks at it.
I think they would probably answer yes.
Yeah, they would.
Ethically, morally, no. But money-wise, yep.
I don't think ethical and moral even
come into
not even
no,
part of
no.
it. It's like whether to let a player play who's committed a rape,
frankly,
or attempted rape.
Frankly, if
no, ethically, morally, no. But it's about money. It's about winning.
If you're a big shareholder in NBC Universal and Comcast, you wouldn't care.
Yeah, you'd probably wonder how much you could pay to make it go away,
which is apparently done
a lot more than we ever dreamed.
So
what did Oppenheim do?
The staffers have been passing around articles that he wrote 20 years ago.
Oh, God. And, yeah, he's not an old guy. This is in college, right?
Yeah, 20 years ago in Harvard.
Come on, isn't this stupid?
Our boss thinks women enjoy being confined, pumped with alcohol, and preyed upon. Those are his own words, which You know, maybe some women do.
You know, what someone writes in high school or college, or what they wear to a costume party, unless they do it 10 years later, or it's something they do, you know, as a pattern in their life, I just think it's crazy.
In the late 90s, he wrote, "Maybe time for the feminist activists on this campus to take a little time out for good old-fashioned reality check." He wrote that he loved Hooters.
Is that really a crime for a 20-year-old?
A lot of people love Hooters anyway. And the pictures of scantily clad women decorated his room by the standards of modern feminists, I thereby guilty of the most terrible crime. I objectify women, he wrote. Like most heterosexual men, the sight of a big busted blonde tickles my fancy, which the problem with that
statement. The gayest way of saying that that I have ever heard. That's the crime.
The problem with that is tickles my
fancy.
That
should be fireable.
You treat a hot girl like dirt, and she'll stick to you like mud.
Tickles my fancy.
Somebody, this is just it's really crazy. Who dug this shit up? Who digs this shit up?
I don't know.
It's like this guy's 16, it tweets when he's 16-year-olds. Yeah. Who does this?
I don't know.
Cancel, cancel, cancel.
And I don't even know why 16-year-olds are on Twitter. I mean, you'd think any parent would know, you know what? I don't want your words.
Well, they do now.
Your stupid words. Do they?
I would think they do now. I mean, who's going to let a 16-year-old be on Twitter?
A lot of people.
Would you? Still?
I wouldn't want. No, I would not want somebody on Twitter.
Well, good luck. Good luck stopping it, too.
No, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
I don't even think it's a parent's fault. I mean, you know, a lot of parents of 16-year-olds, they may have never been on Twitter.
Yeah.
So they don't know how you get on Twitter.
Still pretty new. It's only 10 years old.
Yeah.
It's pretty new technology.
If you do anything wrong in your life, and I find out about it, I'm going to try to take everything away from you. And I don't care when I find out. It could be today, tomorrow, 15, 20 years from now. If I find out, you're fucking finished.
I mean, hey. Case in point, we're an hour in the show, and we haven't even discussed that it's Columbus Day.
Oh, Brandon's favorite holiday.
Why is it your favorite holiday?
Built on a myth.
It's not my favorite holiday at all, but I believe that Christopher Columbus is canceled.
Yeah, he is.
He's part of the cancel culture. Oh, we found out that this happened. No more Columbus Day.
I have to tell you, when something comes up regarding 1492 in 2016 that no one knew until 2016 mm-hmm. or... Yeah, but no one paid attention to.
Nobody cared about him until, you know, what, 1870 when Washington Irving wrote that book about him? No one cared.
Fun fact, Columbus is in the bad place because of all the raping, slave trade, and genocide.
It should really be about
Ponce de
Leon. Someone in
1870?
Until he's canceled.
How trustworthy is something written in 1870 about 1492?
Well, that's why he became a thing.
No, I know, but... How believable is that? And why was there ever a Columbus Day? Why didn't somebody, when Columbus Day was created, why didn't somebody point out the book in 1870 and figure out how accurate regard to 1492? Because you can't fucking know.
They didn't care. Nobody cares now.
It was set up during the 400th anniversary by President Benjamin Harrison. Bloop. And it's funny because overseas, like especially in Spain, like Columbus Day is a real, real big holiday.
Italy, too. Because there's any Italian.
Well, they were going to cancel it in Arizona for Martin Luther King Day, and the Italian Americans were angry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they were just going to exchange the holidays, so there wasn't an extra state holiday, which, you know, is what all they thought King Day was going
to
be.
Why does anybody get a holiday for that day anyway?
Go to the bank on that day.
I mean, aren't most banks open now?
On Columbus Day? I don't know. I don't think so. Really? I'd be surprised. That banks are closed
for America. Anything. We should be working every day.
America!
20 hours a day, every day.
Okay, here's the Elton John Michael Jackson thing. He opened up with the King Cobb's deteriorated state before his tragic death on June 25, 2009. John wrote that he met the pop star when he was a teen, but it wasn't until Jackson's later years that Elton John questioned what prescription drugs he was being pumped full of. Okay, first of all, no one gets pumped full of anything, especially Michael Jackson.
Yes.
No one is pumped full of things they don't want to be pumped full of.
Yeah.
Especially not Michael Jackson.
Now, do you think Elton was wondering because he wanted to try it or he was worried about him?
He could have been romanticizing the old days exactly. When he was partying. 17-year-old performer concluded Jackson appeared to have totally lost his marbles in the 2000s.
Yeah.
He was hanging around 12-year-olds in the 1980s. Mm-hmm. But even decades prior, John said Jackson was troubled. He revealed details of a disturbing lunch he had with a pop star in the 1990s where Jackson appeared sick and donned a full face of makeup and plaster. The poor guy looked awful, really frail and ill. John was candid about his makeup, which appeared to have been applied by a maniac. His nose was covered with a sticking plaster, he wrote. The alarming lunch encounter grew worse when John recalled Jackson disappeared from the table without a word. He was later found inside the cottage of Elton John's housekeeper, quietly playing games with her 11-year-old son.
Can you believe it? That's really overdoing it.
Can you believe
that? He's reliving his childhood. He didn't have a childhood.
Yeah. We have the footage. I have all the footage.
Elton says, for whatever reason, he couldn't seem to cope with adult company.
Didn't want to.
I don't know about that. Well, he was married. He was married to Lisa Marie Presley. Remember, they were happy.
Right. Yeah, I thought it wouldn't last.
He was married to Lisa Rowe. They had a great marriage. They produced Debbie Rowe. They produced two children.
He probably
nobody thought this would last.
He probably calls her Lisa Rowe. He doesn't even know her first name. He just calls her that fat bitch.
My shoulder.
Bought two kids from her.
Did you read Elton and the other who? Tina Turner. He had a fight with Tina Turner.
Yeah, that's a famous fight when they're rehearsing.
Yeah,
yeah.
And about, he writes about his hair plugs too.
I didn't. I saw that story. I didn't read the whole thing.
Well, it was better than I thought it would be. I don't know. Elton is just, he's a fun guy.
He's such a drama queen
really
though.
Is
I mean,
bitch.
Honestly, he just could not stand not having hair. It just was not something he could deal with.
I don't know. I like him because he has a pretty good attitude about everything now.
Yeah, he does.
You know, from his drug use to his hair.
No,
plugs.
He's really cool, and he does so many. He gives so much money to charity. The idea of doing a joint tour with Tina Turner was a nice idea that turned into a disaster. Well, I was planning. She rang me up at home with the express intention of telling me how awful I was and how I had to change before we could work together. She didn't like my hair. She didn't like the color of my piano. She didn't like my clothes. Why is that any of her business?
I guess she thought she was in charge.
You wear too much Versace and it makes you look fat. You have to wear Armani, she announced.
What?
I got off the phone and burst into tears. She sounded like my effing mother, I wailed at David. Oh.
He yelled at David. David had to comfort him.
Burst into tears.
I believe it.
Yeah. Oh, my God. EJ.
Pussy.
Incredibly, our working relationship got worse. In rehearsals, Tina wouldn't address any of the musicians in my band by name. She just pointed and bellowed, hey, you!
I think Tina
it's like Elvis going, hey, Beatle.
I think Tina Turner earned the right to do that.
You know, he's had that band for a long time, though.
It's not her band.
Hey, you! We started playing Proud Mary. It sounded great. Tina stopped the song, unhappy. It's you, she pointing at my bass player, Bob Birch. You're doing it wrong. He assured her it wasn't. We started the song again. Once more, Tina yelled for us to stop. This time, it was my drummer's fault. It went on like this for a while. Every member of the band being accused of messing up in turn until Tina finally discovered the real source of the problem. This time, her fingers pointed in my direction. It's you! You're not playing it right! The subsequent debate about whether I knew how to play Proud Mary became quite heated before I brought it to a conclusion by telling Tina to stick her fucking song up her arse and stormed off. I've thrown plenty of tantrums in my time, but there are limits. There's an unspoken rule that musicians don't treat their fellow musicians like shit. I went into her dressing room and apologized. She told me the problem was that I was improvising too much, adding little fills and runs on the piano.
That's what he does, man.
I was always performing.
Great.
That made it obvious the tour wasn't going to work. Although we made up later, she came in for dinner, left a big lipstick kiss in the visitor's book.
There's just one thing.
Oh, boy. Poor Elton.
Speaking of people making up, did you see Howard Stern on Bill Maher's show?
Yeah, I did.
Really good.
Yeah, it was funny.
It's amazing. Watching like him or Letterman be interviewed because they hate being interviewed. They like to interview.
Take over.
And how they always take over, those two.
Yeah, personally, I liked it.
Maher even yelled at him. He goes, this is my interview.
I know. Well, it was going places he didn't want to go.
Yeah.
Like his
love life.
Love life.
Yeah, it was really funny. It's just cool.
I was kind of suggesting that can't you find one person to be in love with? And Maher said, well, I just happen to like prefer three or four or whatever he said.
To each his own.
I got to tell you.
It's hard to understand that, but to each his own, I guess.
At that age, I have a hard time understanding
it. Yeah.
That's a lot to juggle.
Oh, I don't think he does much juggling. It's just, he seems to just, whatever the flow is.
Yeah. I guess. So let's see. Did I mention? I did mention. Oh, no, I didn't mention.
What?
I didn't mention Hall Financial.
Brandon, what was your...
Oh, we should open the Hall Financial hotline, too.
Oh, yeah, shoot. What was your underbet, by the way?
Well, I thought that was a sure thing.
I didn't say that one was a lock.
No, I just want. I honestly don't
Why are you betting
know.
Non-locks on my account?
It's a $7 bet.
It's getting close to it. I just wondered what it was.
No, it's not getting close to it. It went way over a long time
oh,
ago.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
Oh.
Boy. What was the bet exactly?
It was the under.
I don't. You guys.
Browns
I think
and
we should
Seahawks
on.
Under.
I think we Browns should and Seahawks. On. What was the under?
Like 58.
58? That's a lot of points.
Not that. I mean, if you want to be an
That was ant, the under?
If you want to be a monster and bet an under, that's not bad.
Yeah. You
know, rooting for people to punt. It's a lot of fun.
Punts.
Got punts. You got to root for punts if you're betting the under.
Ugh. They need to take the punt out of the game.
You heard the Hall Financial Hotline open. That's because they're the top mortgage company in Michigan, and they sponsor our hotline. They offer lower payments, better options, and more personal attention when you refinance your house. Wouldn't you want to pay less? Wouldn't you want to find money? And wouldn't you want to do it more quickly, too? It takes you almost an extra month. That's another month of payments at the old price versus 19-day
no
average for all financial. Yeah, no thank you. Lower payments, better options, more personal attention. And the more personal attention always gets a lot of attention when people rave about Hall Financial, how they make it so easy, how doing it with other people. Oh, I need this. Oh, I need that. A week later, we're all done. I got everything I need. Oh, my God, I need this. Not with Hall Financial. From start to finish, they're attentive. They make the process easy. They check in every couple days, even if there's no news. Hall Financial, you won't be disappointed. Go to drewandmike.hallfg.com or go to our webpage, click Hall Financial, fill out the form. They'll get back to you fast. You won't be disappointed with Hall Financial, NMLS number 1467435. And Spirit Airlines had to deplane a whole plane load of people because some guy barfed in this girl's hair in front of him. And one of our listeners, was it Anthony? Was Anthony the listener, Brandon?
I don't know. I just know the guy's name is Tom.
Tom, yeah, it was Anthony that said his brother was in the row that got barfed on.
Oh. We have an actual audio of him. Here's what he said, too.
It smells awful. Now I'm going to throw up.
And what's his name?
Tom.
Tom, okay. All we saw was the girl getting the puke cleaned out of her hair.
Oh, yeah, as if that was going to work.
I feel like Tom really got shortchanged in this story.
They didn't offer like they should have dropped the masks. I mean, Spirit Airline planes don't smell the best to begin with.
Hello?
Hey, Tom. It's Drew and Mike Show in Detroit.
Hey, how you doing?
How are you doing?
Pretty good.
Well, I was amazed when I heard from Anthony, your brother, and he said that you were in the row in front of that slob that threw up and got that Spirit Airlines plane deplaned. And why don't you just take us through what happened as you're sitting down getting ready for the flight?
Oh, man, it's quite the story. So I was visiting friends in Chicago, you know, wake up early after a night of going out to watch football. Mm-hmm. Thinking, hey, I hope I'm not the guy in the plane throwing up, you know. sitting down there, we're bored, and I'm sitting in the aisle. I'm a big guy, so everyone's bumping into my shoulder. Ugh. Just sitting there, next thing you hear this gurgling noise.
Ooh, that was good.
What's going on? So immediately the girl starts screaming.
Oh.
Stand up.
Is she next to you?
She's two over me. The guy next to me got a little splatter on his right arm, but luckily I was out of the splash zone.
Oh, lucky you.
I know. And as you were bemoaning the fact that you were sitting on the aisle getting your arm bumped, you could have been window and had puke all over you.
So I stand up and everyone's, hey, all my seat's behind you. Like, I understand that. We're not going anywhere. This guy just fucking puked everywhere. So stop.
Does it smell good enough for you in there? How do you like the smell? Is it good?
How bad did it smell?
Oh my God! I mean, it would have cleared the room. I mean, it was pretty good. We're sitting there digging the bell, and no one's coming because it's they're trying to get her on the plane. So I'm yelling, "Hey, this guy here, he just puked all over here. So need some help."
Hey, what was he doing? Was he like what? What guy? Was he trying to pretend?
This guy had no idea where he even was. I've never seen a drunker idiot in my life.
At what time?
8 a.m.
8 a.m.
Yeah, 8 a.m.
Wow.
He threw up. We looked back. The guy's sitting there. like not like nothing happened.
Yeah.
Immediately starts puking on himself again.
Oh, just nice.
Puking all over himself.
Was anybody sitting next to him?
Yes, a couple of his buddies.
How were they handling?
Were they apologizing or like it's crazy?
No, they were perfectly fine. They got back on the plane and you could tell like everyone got hundreds of people pissed off. They were laughing about it. I could tell.
Oh,
it's
jerks.
Like, oh man.
How old were these guys?
Oh shit! They were probably in their 40s. It looked like a couple. you saw the picture of the guy.
Yeah,
right?
I did. Yeah, he's slob.
Yeah, the rest of them weren't much better.
Oh boy,
about the same. So finally, I'm get moved to the back of the plane. Like, okay, I want to get away from this. And they're deboarding us, and they go over there, and they're, hey, sir, get off the plane. We got to clean up. And he just waves them off like, no, I'm good. he had no idea where he was. So they had to physically drag him off the plane. They get off the plane, and he tries to walk back in.
Oh, no kidding.
he had no idea where he was.
How did he even get – I'm surprised they even let him on the plane if he was in that bad
like
shape.
So this is a pretty good story, too. I mean, the guy next to me, he's like, oh, I feel bad. I think he's special needs. I was like, no, man, he's just drunk. Like, But the guy next to me thought that he was because one of his friends was helping him carry him on
oh my god
so it was bad
so oh my god he had to make it through security, although I guess he could have gone through security and then got extra hammered
Did you hear the second half of the story?
No.
The Notre Dame guys?
No.
Okay. Being a Michigan fan here, so I love to tell this story.
They're the worst, aren't they? Notre Dame guys.
You guys, I know I've swore a couple times. You're okay with that, right?
Of course, Notre Dame's
swore. Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, no, you can swear all you want.
So I'm sitting there in my, just like I said, went to go hang out with my buddies, watch the Michigan-Iowa game. I woke up the next morning, just left my stuff on. I was wearing all Michigan garb. And next thing you know is two guys, or a guy and a girl, sorry, heckling me. Oh, fuck you, Harbaugh. Fuck Michigan. Oh, fuck you.
Nice.
I went, okay, whatever. I just want to get on my plane and go home. And finally, I'm kind of jumping back and forth, but it took us an hour to get this puke cleaned up. They finally let us back on. Chicago's a big airport, so they're taxiing us out there for about a half an hour. Ugh. And finally, I'm sorry, we got to go back. The toilet's over flooding. There was two unruly passengers in the bathroom that wouldn't unlock the door and wouldn't sit down during takeoff, so we got to go back.
What?
Yeah, so
it was them?
They took us back. They took us back to the plane or to the gate. Had to refill us with gas. Kick these two drunk idiots off the plane. As they're going by, of course, I had to give them a Go Blue.
Yeah. Who knew that the Spirit Airline flight from Chicago to Baltimore was this insanely rowdy?
I'm glad I get to tell the story because I was like, oh, I can't believe this is happening on a Sunday morning at 8 a.m.
God, that's incredible. So this couple was boning in the bathroom?
They were doing something. They wouldn't come out. And like I said, when they left, the bathroom was broken and flooding. So we had to return back to the gate.
What are those monsters doing there?
Maybe she took a big dump and clogged it and dragged him in there to help her take the blame. Who knows? Oh, my God. What a disaster.
So you guys got back on the same plane that the guy threw up on the person?
Yeah. So I was like, oh God, it's a full plane. They can't move me to a different seat or anything. So I had to sit there. But I guess they can give Spirit Airlines a good props for they did a great job cleaning. It didn't smell that bad.
Was there like yellow crime tape around that seat? And no one was sitting on it, like just that seat, or did someone fill that?
Kind of funny that this is another part. They got on and they it's all clean, and then. Oh, I think they forgot to clean out the pocket, so then they brought someone back in, cleaned the pocket out.
Oh,
Oh my God! What about the girl who he puked in her hair, and they showed a flight attendant trying to clean it out of her hair?
Oh yeah, she's gonna have some issues flying. I think after that one, that was quite the experience for her. She played it off pretty well. I'm fairly confident that I would have turned around and thrown a punch.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, he's already knocked out. I mean, you couldn't do anything to him.
True.
Yeah, he's just, it was an unbelievable sight.
I think I'd have been just so frozen if someone puked on me.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Although I threw up on my brother once, so.
It took us a good, 15, 20 seconds to realize, what is happening right now?
how quick did you pull out your phone to record any of it?
I don't know if you've looked at the pictures they have all over the internet. There's just one picture of me in the background, filming him. walking, doing the march out.
Really?
I didn't have all the pictures. It's too early in the morning. You need to think about filming some idiot.
But did almost everybody pull out their phone at some point?
Oh yeah. You could tell the whole place was just, all I could hear was low grumbles and pissed off people.
Oh boy. Well, Tom, thanks so much for sharing that with us. And I'm glad you got to tell your story. And, were you proud of Michigan yesterday at Illinois?
They looked good for the first half and then kind of tried to give it away there for a quarter, but they got to clean that offense up and they should be okay.
Are you going to fall into the trap and believe that they have a chance at Penn State this weekend?
Unfortunately, I'm going to the game, so I might have to be there in the midst of it with 18 other Penn State fans.
Are you going to stop by game day?
Oh, no, I'm going to probably just show up and try to get out of there as fast as possible.
Yeah, understand.
All right, Tom, thanks so much.
All right, have a good night.
All right, go Blue.
Yeah, go Blue. Bye.
That's great.
And thanks, Anthony.
I never would have thought that story would have been worse.
Oh, how gross. Oh, my God. That poor girl.
Asshole. I can't believe he got on. That guy could get on the plane if he was that messed up.
You know, I was sitting next to somebody.
He thought he was special needs. He was so drunk.
That's hilarious. He looked.
Wait, I think we have audio.
I looked at him and could have thought the same thing. He was just bumbling. He tried to get back on the plane.
Yeah, here's audio of when he was getting into his seat.
I'm so drunk, I feel retarded. I was looking deep. I know I shouldn't use that word, but that's how I feel right now, man.
I heard it's retarded or something.
I went to the Nirvana concert at the, the State Fairgrounds.
Really?
You know, they've got a...
Yeah, a shell.
No, it's not a shell. It's an indoor arena. I think they have other stuff.
Really?
In there. Yeah, it's weird. It was a weird place to see Nirvana.
When was this?
I should look it up on a concert.
All right, go ahead. I'll look it up.
It was in, I'm pretty sure it was on the State Fairgrounds. But anyway, this guy puked in this girl's hair in front of us.
That's so gross.
I know, it was really gross. And it was kind of chunky.
1993?
Yeah, what's the arena called?
Coliseum, State Fairgrounds Coliseum.
Yeah, that was it. I think it held about 9,000, 10,000.
Wow, maybe. I never knew you went to that. That's cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was really good, too. I liked Nirvana a lot at the time, and I don't even remember it being that hard to get tickets.
It was right before your birthday, October 29th, 1993.
Damn, is that right?
Yep, Washington State Fairgrounds.
And then I also remember throwing up on the bus in fifth grade.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, what a bummer. And it stunk.
So they get the sawdust out?
Yeah, they just bus driver stopped another bus to get sawdust.
Aww.
And that was when, and it's funny how everyone remembers this. This friend of mine, Jeff, I recall him yelling. He was sitting right near me, too. There's a guy that people used to bully, basically, because he was really smart. And I'm just
how dare he smart,
just very nerdy and wimpy and
easy. He's an easy target.
Solomon's eating all the big chunks. And there was quite a
go outside, nerd. Get out.
There's quite a guffaw.
What was he doing? Like, no, I'm not eating it. Defending himself.
No, I don't think he said anything.
Aw, he's probably thinking of how he's going to dominate the world when he gets older.
I know, which I'm sure he is. We're trying to find him on Facebook when the T3 was together.
He's probably on there.
People used to call order pizzas delivered to his house all the time.
Oh, cool.
And then allegedly, I still don't know if this is true or not, somebody claimed they got a load of lumber ordered to his house. And I think his parents were like supposedly outside with their palms up going, hey, what, we didn't order any lumber.
That's funny.
Ridiculous. One of the things that happened, it's always weird when you come in on for the Monday show, because I always forget about the things that happened on Friday, but I think it was Friday when this big story about Tyler Skaggs came out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What a story, man.
It's not a sports podcast, and it's not really a sports story.
You know, it's like lead on CNN, man.
Yeah, Anaheim Angel player who overdosed. And when he died...
LA Angels now.
Unexpectedly... Oh, LA Angels, duh. I'm sure somebody will hit the boner line with that one. 209-66 boner! When he died, you know, he was treated with such incredible reverence. And I'm not against that either. His teammates loved him, and it was a terrible story. He was 27 years old.
Does it lessen it a little bit? Remember they hit the home run 447.
Yeah, Trout hit a home run.
They all wore his jersey.
I
mean, it's sad regardless. I hate to say that, so
but yeah, it kind of does a little bit because, you know, I don't know. I don't want to be that way.
No, I understand honoring him.
Yeah.
I just don't know. Did they leave, like, his number and everything up in the at the big A?
I don't know how crazy they went. I mean, if they retired his number.
Well, that's what I mean.
Put his name on the wall or something. Statue. And I swear, when this happened, I said, it's got to be an opioid overdose. Oh, yeah. What else kills a 27-year-old guy in fabulous shape? You know, could have a congenital heart defect or something.
Very rare, but yeah.
So I just had a feeling it wasn't. I think we talked about it. And then it turns out, yeah, he overdosed. He had 0.12 alcohol blood level in the middle of the day. And he also had a number of, what did he have in his system besides?
Fentanyl.
Fentanyl, but there were other things in there too, weren't there?
Well, I thought it was just the opioids.
Yeah, I thought it was, yeah, booze.
Was it just fentanyl? I thought there was like Xanax or...
I thought it was just fentanyl, the oxycodone and the alcohol.
Okay. Well, I'm not trying to add to the list, but... you know, he was, I would say, 110%. He was an opioid addict.
Choked on his own vomit.
Yeah. And he probably, it sounds to me, actually, they said in the story that he purchased something and thought it was probably oxycodone or, I don't know, Lortabs or OxyContin. And
could I get some painkillers over here, please?
And it was fentanyl.
Yeah.
Which kills people all the time. And, and I'm still amazed that people actually will put fentanyl in something that people think is something else. But they want them to get a buzz. Yeah. And fentanyl's cheaper, so they can, you know, they can cook up these things. I always thought people just wanted the prescribed item as it looks, as it's prescribed. But apparently...
Well, it's easier to get fentanyl than it is to get...
Right.
Thank God, I almost caught the dragon.
She can just order it from China.
So...
The DEA launches this investigation into it, and they knew right away. Remember the family said there was a...
Somebody in the organization that provided drugs for him.
Yeah, which they found out pretty quick because of all the text messages between them. Did you read some
of them? Yeah. I didn't read the text. Yeah. What did the text messages say? I did not see the text messages.
Just communication back and forth. Like, I think he was asking them for 6 oxys. And then, of course, he gave some to him, and he goes, that's not what killed him, though, because every time I gave him pills, he took them all right away. It's like, Jesus Christ.
He said he was in his room, and he was crushing and snorting pills in his room.
There's something about that story I just don't know if I believe, because I just wonder if this guy knew about the fentanyl to some extent, because he said he's in the room with Tyler Skaggs, and there's 3 lines, 2 of which he recognized in a line of some... other thing that some substance he doesn't recognize. And I'm sitting there going, okay, if that's the case, he would have said, what's that?
Right.
Don't you think he would have inquired or like, what are you doing? What's that? Where did you get it from? Maybe he said, hey, what's that? Maybe like you want, I mean, I don't know.
Did it ever mention that?
I just find it odd that he wouldn't have asked or tried to figure out what it was.
Did it ever mention that Tyler Skaggs received drugs elsewhere? Or maybe this Eric Kay guy who was, PR?
Angel's PR guy.
Mm-hmm. He was providing them to Tyler. Did he believe that he was the only one providing
drugs? No.
There's no way.
He says he was not. You know what else came out of that? Was they said 5 other players on the Angels are taking opioids.
Brad Ausmus got canned right away, and I think this is a huge reason why.
I think the Angels are screwed. I think you know what though.
Can
maybe
I ask a question though?
Why MLB will probably just fine them a bunch of millions.
Is this really Brad Ausmus's? Does he really share responsibility for adult?
It happened on his watch. So,
but is he in charge of the PR department?
No, and honestly, I don't think he's responsible to know what every player is putting in their body.
I don't think so either. Now, the guy who is his boss, this is where it gets really interesting, too. He allegedly, the PR guy overdosed, and his boss was at the hospital with him.
The PR guy overdosed?
Yeah, you didn't read that part
of
the story?
No, I didn't know that.
See if I can find it. It's really...
Can you find the text messages, too?
You know, it wasn't the text messages that they printed. It was all the... Venmo transactions, just a series of payments from $600 bucks, because Skaggs would give him money to go buy it, and then he would cover his drugs as well.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that was a pretty good deal for that guy.
Yeah, how could the guy turn it down?
Can't
sue him.
So
he didn't have any money anyway.
Eric Kay started abusing opioids in 98. He's currently on outpatient treatment right now and on paid leave from the Angels.
This guy's been doing opioids since 1998.
Yeah, it's amazing that he's made it this long.
Wow.
He sought treatment for the substance abuse twice this year alone while recovering in the hospital from an overdose on April 22nd. He received a text from Skaggs seeking drugs, they said.
While recovering from an overdose?
Yeah.
Did Skaggs know he overdosed?
I would hope not. His mother, this is Kay's mother, Sandy, was visiting her son in the hospital at the time alongside Kay's wife and Tim Mead, the former Angels vice president of communication and Kay's supervisor. Sandy told Outside the Lines that she saw the text and told Mead that the team needed to intervene to get Skaggs off his back. Mead left the Angels in June to become president of the Baseball Hall of Fame. I don't know how long that's going to last. Claims that he didn't know anything about this. But Kay then told the DEA before, you know, during the investigation, that he told Mead in 2017 that Tyler Skaggs was having an issue with opioids, which I guess you're supposed to notify Major League Baseball immediately.
Are they going to name these players?
What about drug testing? Nobody. They got six players doing opioids on the Angels.
How do you drug test for opioids if they prescribe them? What if they prescribe them for injuries?
Oh, I doubt that. Why is he buying them from this guy, Eric Kay?
No, we know that part, but I mean, how do you... Is the union going to let them drug test when they...
They don't test them for... What do they test? They only test them for steroids? They're not allowed to test for anything else?
No, but I mean, it's a legitimate medicine if one of them gets injured.
Yeah,
what
but
if
we know how illegitimately... That medicine is probably used illegitimately by 7 out of 10 people that use it.
I agree, but think about how the union thinks.
Union.
I mean, things will
be... Oh, yeah, if they want the players overdosing and having drug problems.
A ton will be changed because of this. But can you believe he was texting him while he's recovering in rehab?
Yeah, because he wanted some.
That's amazing.
He just wanted drugs. He didn't care.
So, yeah, but Brandon, you're right. I wonder, will we find out who these other five guys are?
I don't know if they'll name them or not. I mean, the Angels do have some pretty big... I mean, obviously, Mike Trout's probably the most famous baseball player in the game right now.
He'd be paying for all of them? You'd be treating the whole team. Just get them for me and I'll buy them.
Well, let's see who's...
But, you know, Pujols is a pretty stand-up guy. I doubt he was one of them.
Who hung out with Tyler Skaggs? I mean, doesn't the answer lie there?
Well, Tyler Skaggs, I think he was drafted in the same year as Mike Trout.
Boy, he really... Brandon wants to take down Mike Trout.
Let's see.
Should we call that girl he went on the date with, the prom, Mike Trout?
Let's Google friends of Tyler Skaggs. Angels.
Well, I think it's going to be like his pitching buddies.
So yeah, most likely.
It's probably Andrew Heaney.
Tyler Skaggs.
According to a June 11, 2019 tweet from Kay, the public relations guy, he said Mead took over the role of father figure in his life, which was the boss. So there's no way this guy didn't know if he really didn't, he'd tell him.
Maybe it was Justin Upton. He's been injured, too. So Cole Calhoun.
Yeah, let's see. Angel pitcher.
This is going to sound weird, but I'm going to assume they're white. I don't know why.
I immediately assumed they were white, too.
Start with the white players on the team.
You know what? When somebody says opioids, I assume white. I don't know why.
It's typically a white thing, isn't it?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know.
Most likely. Yeah.
I mean, is heroin a white thing?
It didn't used to be. Back in the jazz age. But no, yeah, I would think most people would think it's a white thing.
I bet it isn't. I mean,
look at the lineups at those Florida pain clinics when all that stuff was going down. There were a lot of white people in those lines. A lot of white people in West Virginia where it got abused. Remember the 60 Minutes story with the whole scam? That was pretty white.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what it matters.
No, not really. Well, you know, the only thing is, you know, when crack cocaine was introduced to the black public to, you know, bring black people down, crack cocaine, I'm sure anybody who has an addictive personality could be introduced to crack cocaine.
Crack is whack.
We've seen Toronto mayor smoke it.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not crazy about a drug conspiracy.
Oh, like that's why it was created?
Well, they suggested that it was introduced to
black
areas.
It made cocaine cheaper.
Well, not everyone can afford. I mean, you don't have to be black to be able to not afford cocaine. I mean, a lot of people can't afford cocaine.
Yeah, and to that point, heroin makes, you know, these opioid pills cheaper. So
yeah, and heroin is frequently what people go to when they can't afford opioids. Not just black people. I mean, that's tons of white people. I mean, it's amazing how often you see that story. you know, they've done stories even locally where, you know, here's this girl from this wonderful family in Birmingham, and she was
she got injured in the sports.
Yeah, she got hurt skiing, and she started taking Vicodin, and the next thing you know, she's taking buses to 8 Mile or wherever to buy heroin. I mean, that's just common. I can't believe how common that story is.
I think the Angels are screwed.
Yeah, I don't know. That's going to be a weird story because, you know, much like NBA in China, they're not going to want that story to be a thing.
No, but Major League Baseball is going to act on it because of that rule that they need to be notified.
Well,
Gene Autry's going to be furious.
I just liked baseball when I was a kid.
Gene Autry. Gene Autry's still alive? Dead, isn't he?
What?
He's got to be dead, right?
I think he died like 2 decades ago, didn't he?
It's been a while. I think his widow died too. Didn't she own the Angels?
Who owns the Angels?
I don't know. I have no idea.
He died in 1998.
Okay, it's been a while. I thought it was beyond the 15 years.
Yeah, Artie Moreno owns them now.
Who's that dude?
Can we find out who Gene Autry's widow is? I'm just insanely curious for no reason.
Right, let me look it up. Let's see. I can't believe he died even further, like longer than I even thought.
How far in are we, Brandon?
Oh, 1 hour and 36 minutes.
Okay.
Is he married?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was.
Because yeah,
she was a showbiz star too, wasn't she?
She ran the Angels for a while.
What was her name?
Jackie.
Yeah, and did she die?
Jackie is still alive. She's 78 years old.
Who's she banging now?
I don't know. Probably some young
George
stud.
Burns.
Is he dead?
Yes.
What? I thought he was like 140.
I know.
When did he die? He must have died around the same time as Gene Autry.
You know, it's funny. George Burns, like the last probably 30 years of his life or 25 years of his life, I feel like he was forced upon us.
He was.
Because he's so old and because he's nice and he smokes cigars and he has a goofy voice. Mm-hmm. And he loved Gracie.
You know, like those Oh God movies?
No.
With him and John Denver?
No.
What?
And I don't think he was funny either. He was slightly amusing as an old person can be amusing, but, I mean, they would have you believe that he was, like, the greatest entertainer. He's booking a gig on his 100th birthday
because
he's
forever.
Still so good.
That's not why.
John Denver's full of shit, man.
It's because
he's
was
still
around.
In the zeitgeist.
It's because he was
it's
alive.
It's amazing. Yeah, because he was
100. Want to know some...
That show sucked.
Oh, God, you devil. That was the movie. That was great.
Some insignificant Jackie Autry...
Yes, always.
On November 25th, 2010, which was Thanksgiving Day, she was driving a car in Palm Springs that hit and killed a pedestrian, Jesus Diaz.
What?
Jesus, I believe.
Who was a homeless man.
So you don't get
and she received... Zero civil, zero criminal charges.
What a shock.
Because she's Jackie Autry!
And he was homeless?
Nope. Because she was sober and he was jaywalking.
What?
Well, it's his fault.
Yeah, they planted the jaywalking on him.
Walked in front of her car. Could she do?
They pushed him in front.
She may have been, attained the AIDS virus. She may have been weakened temporarily.
Or heroin.
Unable to turn the car or stop the car.
She was upset about Gene's death still.
Yes. Only been 12 years.
So I was looking up George Burns and Rotten Tomatoes. Just
oh,
to
no.
help you prove your point.
Yes.
Because, oh God, you devil did not do too well. Come on, and why isn't that?
I'm going to say it's like 46% with the audience, and the critics will give it. No, I'm going to say it's like 36 with the audience and 41 with the critics. Because I'm going to say 55 with the critics because it's George Burns and it's great.
No, it's not opening. Shit. Well, this is going to bump.
You looking for Oh God, You Devil?
Yeah.
Slow down.
God.
Oh, God, You Devil. 36% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Was that the audience?
Nah, I think that's just the reviewers.
I thought the reviewers would kiss his ass.
No one likes it.
What's the other number?
It doesn't have it on here.
What?
Well, that wasn't on Rotten
Tomatoes.
They're
protecting him. Still to this day.
I don't know. How many contributors to Rotten Tomatoes go back to like those types of movies?
They all
I have 36 for the Tomometer and 39 for the audience.
Oh. What about the first one? Oh, God.
Well, let's see.
That's the one with John Denver. Oh, here it is. Wow, 72% on the Tomometer. 59 from the audience.
See? There you go. You're your down. Critics kissing
You're
his ass.
Burns.
You're going down, Burns!
The guy's been
We're dead. Not covering for you anymore!
Dead for 25 years.
You weren't funny.
You're canceled now, Burns. You're probably racist, too. You've been around long enough.
Yeah, let's check out his tweets and social media.
How about George Burns?
Oh, yeah, that's before social media existed.
Yeah.
Check out his high school writings, his high school papers. I wrote about some really racist topics.
What if he was terribly racist?
One day in the future, we'll look back, and anybody who smoked will be the devil, and so we'll cancel him then.
Wait a second. You didn't tell me he was in Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's his lowest rated.
Like the worst
one.
Movie ever.
12% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oof. Speaking of percentages and polls, there is a CBS poll today, which I thought was very interesting. First of all, I was just buzzing through, and I see the New York Post has this story about the Fox News poll. You know, Fox News poll was a big deal this week because it was Fox News. And you would assume, this is how bad it is. People just assume the Fox News poll has got to be good to Trump. Huh? And it wasn't. It said 51% not only approved of the impeachment inquiry, but approved of impeaching Trump.
Blew my mind. Yeah, removing him.
And Trump said that poll sucks.
Did you know then he sent Bill Barr to go talk to Rupert Murdoch?
No.
And then
I didn't know it was a legal matter.
And then the
that's
next,
right.
Exactly. And then the next day, Shep Smith quit.
Oh, yeah.
The very next day.
What?
I mean, it seems like a lot of coincidence to me, but.
Oh, the man who won't believe there's a Epstein conspiracy believes there's a Shep Smith conspiracy.
No, I just said I don't believe the conspiracy. It sounds like a lot of coincidence.
Yeah, I wondered why Shep Smith quit.
Because everybody's being mean to him.
That's what they said.
Which sounds like a reason Shep Smith.
I know.
I like him.
I thought it sounded unbelievable. Yeah, Shep Smith's okay. I always liked Shep Smith.
Yeah.
You know, and he's a true reporter.
Yeah, he's not a
he's not just a partisan hack.
Yeah.
And that's what was happening. That's why everyone was mean to him, because he was disagreeing with things the Trump administration was doing, and the other hosts were being mean to him. Because of it.
They picture him like hazing him in the bathroom and stuff.
Yeah, I see him like holding his hands over his face and curling up into a fetal position under his desk. Carson's yelling at him.
I feel that when you do that to me. It's not nice. Don't do it.
The New York Post had a story about the Fox News poll underrepresenting Republicans. And, you know, I don't know. I don't go through their poll audience to determine things, but that's what they said. And so anyway, it just got me onto another poll, which was the CBS poll. And the CBS poll looked, this is a new poll. This looked a lot more partisan. They said that as far as approving of Trump should be impeached, 16% of Republicans approve, 88% of Democrats approve, and 47% of independents approve. Disapprove, 84% of Republicans, 12% of Dems, and 53% of independents. So, and then they said, deserves to be impeached 2 weeks ago, 42%. Doesn't deserve, 36%. Too soon, 22%.
42%.
Now, 2 weeks later, deserves to be impeached, still 42%. Doesn't deserve has gone from 36 to 38%, and too soon has fallen from 22 to 20%. They did agree with this statement. Most people polled in the CBS poll are not paying much attention.
Yeah, I figured as much.
U.S. presidents can get help from other countries for elections.
Oh, come
for
on.
Election. 12% said yes, 61% said shouldn't, and 27% said depends.
Wow.
Ukraine.
Are you surprised it's that high?
Which one?
Just that anybody's cool with. I mean, you know, there's always going to be 10% that are fine.
Yeah.
Depends?
Depends doesn't surprise me. I think a lot of
what that means. It depends on if it's my president
or
exactly. your president.
Yeah, exactly. Pretty much. Ukraine. Trump's actions are proper. 29% say proper. 27% say illegal if improper. And 44% said illegal. Republicans, 61% said his actions were proper, and they added that many of them added that many have done the same thing.
That doesn't make it right, though.
Approvement of impeachment now, impeachment inquiry, 53% approve, 46% disapprove. 2 weeks ago, 55% approve and 45% disapproved. So that would, it seems that the poll 2 weeks ago and now it's almost the same number.
Isn't the Syria thing a bigger deal in your mind?
You know, I don't really understand what the fuck is going on in all these places. Well, but ISIS, yeah, I would think
ISIS is free now.
I mean, I would think it would be
good for you, ISIS.
I mean, certainly in terms of something real, yeah. You know what's weird about the Syria thing, and this is just from someone who does not follow. You know, I'm fully aware of ISIS, Iraq War, and you know all the Afghanistan, and I don't pay a ton of attention to it, but. It seemed fairly universal that no one believed this was a good thing.
Yeah.
And so if that's the case, and I'll go with that, then why doesn't the UN jump in? Why doesn't someone jump in and say, this is so horrible, and do something?
Who's going to do it?
The UN.
Yeah, but isn't that really us? Because
I don't know.
Who on the Security Council?
What are UN fees for?
Russia's not going to do it. Because they're happy that there's a void. Well, no, China's not going to do it, and we're not going to do it. So that's 3 out of 5.
I just would think someone would do something. It's us or no one.
The fact of the matter
is, in other words, if all the ISIS people escape, no one else cares.
No, pretty much. It's Europe cares, but, you know.
Well, so nobody in Europe is going to do
anything. That's where they're
going
to go anyway, he said.
I know.
I can't believe it. They want to go to Europe anyway. Like, well, yeah, but there are allies, too.
Well, if it's all about Europe, then why doesn't Europe care?
I think they do. I don't think
why don't they do something? Then why are they yelling at us?
I don't know.
Shouldn't they do something?
I think what most people care about.
And that's not really the point, but it's sort of the point because I
think they do care. I think we have a lot of power and we were there holding shit down and
yeah.
Now we're not.
I was watching coverage this morning on CNN and they were describing how we're allies with both. I'm like, we're allies
with both? Both what?
Turkey and
the Kurds?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's true. There's some truth to that.
I know, but it's just weird. It's like, so we...
We're not allies with
militias, defending though. One ally from another ally.
Protecting them, yeah.
I know. It's just... It's so complicated.
Nobody cares about that story. Nobody cares about Ukraine. They care about things like this.
I love you, Lisa. I love you so much I can't even see straightly.
This is funny.
Lisa, she's going to win 100 million to nothing.
100 million.
But just in case, Lisa, my darling, I love you, God. Just in case she doesn't win, we've got an insurance policy essentially saying we're going to take him out. These are corrupt people, folks.
That was Trump impersonating the agent. Yeah, Peter Strzok, is it?
I thought it was Strzok.
It was Strzok banging the other.
Lisa Page.
Is that the FBI?
They were both FBI agents.
So it was Donald Trump impersonating him banging her,
mm-hmm.
which is cute.
He had another good one, too. That was in Minnesota. This one, I believe, was... Let me see if I can find it. It was in Louisiana. Here's a little riff in Louisiana.
By the way, I saw that on CNN this morning. They played that. And the CNN commentator said, I don't think anyone in that audience knows who Peter
Strzok
or... Yeah, and I'm like, are you kidding me? I can't believe how many people know who these people are.
Probably know more
amazed at how many people follow all these little... tiny talking points.
They also know who Oprah is.
She used to go to Mar-a-Lago, a place I have in Palm Beach. She loved Mar-a-Lago. She loved the key lime pie. She did. No, so do I.
I do too.
She loved the key lime pie.
But she used to go. She loved me until I decided to run for office. But she went to Georgia and she campaigned for Stacey. And Obama went and Michelle Obama went. And all Brian Kemp had was Donald Trump.
So weird, man.
What? You mean the crowd
booing? Speeches are just all so weird.
He's doing something. I don't know what he's doing, but
I don't get it.
People were lined up outside
to
see it. You know, think about that.
If he wasn't president, it'd be great.
If he wasn't president, people still line up to see him talk like that. I don't know. See, I think
he's bigger than that now.
He could have the biggest tour of any of these ex-presidents. You know, Michelle Obama shows up, and didn't she sell at Little Caesars Arena?
That's right.
She did. She sold it out?
I don't know. Maybe she didn't. It was more popular, though. The Clintons was a disaster.
Ridiculous.
They're trying to give away tickets to see Hillary at Rackham.
Yeah, I think, I think she spoke there yesterday. Yeah.
Oh, she
you
did?
Know, I think she's losing the entire male audience and many of the women.
Was that a free gig, or were they giving those tickets away to fill the place up?
I don't know. That's not a big place. She was speaking at Rackham. That's not that big a place.
I just thought it was weird that they released something saying they're giving away free tickets.
Yeah, because no one wants to go.
I know.
Wants to go to that. Well, you're right. He could do a much bigger tour.
Yeah, he could.
And that would be
for
fun.
For whatever reason, people will line up to see him talk. And I know a lot of times with presidents, that's true, but I don't know. I would never do
we that. We would have such high ratings.
He's different, though.
I'm trying to remember. Would people line up? They would line up for Bill Clinton, wouldn't they?
Back in the day? Probably. Not anymore, but probably.
Because I remember.
It's nice that they just celebrated their anniversary together. Pretended
yeah, that was really cute.
Pretending like they love each other.
I tweeted that out.
Oh, you did? I guess the first time they've seen each other in probably months.
Oh, my God. Who knows?
Probably since her tour.
I do remember when Clinton was, I think the Lewinsky thing had just taken off. It was maybe a month later. And, you know, he, of course, is doing the smart thing and just not saying a fucking word. And then he went out on a speaking tour, and Al Gore introduced him. Remember that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they had the biggest crowd. And when he introduced him, William Jefferson Clinton, the crowd went crazy.
I don't get that either.
I know. It's like they liked him more because he was banging an intern. It's like, well, Tiger Woods, when he came back.
Well, I kind of like that part. I don't like the obstruction of justice and shitting all over.
Well, you know. but this playbook is
I was really just having a little fun.
This playbook is just like the Clinton playbook, which was, it's Ken Starr's fault. Ken Starr, terrible.
Now everybody has flipped their opinion on it.
Starr's investigation. And now, you know, the whistleblower's a Biden guy.
Yeah.
Which, you know,
if
it's a crime, it's a crime. Yeah. But if it's a Biden guy saying it's a crime, it's not a crime.
I don't know.
And Rand Paul today said that he thinks at a minimum the four Democratic senators should be investigated over the letter they sent to Ukraine threatening to withhold aid if they don't cooperate in the Mueller investigation. If one is a crime, the other's
a
crime.
Go ahead and investigate them.
I know. Well, it's kind of funny because what if they do and then it's like, oh, well, that's a crime too. And so that's a crime.
Yeah.
And Biden saying he would withhold loan guarantees if they didn't fire a prosecutor. Well, that seems like it's in the same arena at least. He's definitely bragging about it. And Hunter Biden today resigned from the Chinese company.
Mm-hmm. Is it a Chinese company or Chinese-backed?
The Chinese-backed equity firm. Yeah. And he also said that
Can we get the minutes of those board meetings? I want to see how much he contributed.
Yeah, me too.
I don't blame China.
You know, it's really funny. I was thinking about this today. I'm like, boy, Hunter Biden sure has been quiet. And Joe Biden has been really quiet about Hunter Biden.
Did you see Trump's tweet today? Where's Hunter? He has totally disappeared. Now looks like he has raided and scammed even more countries. What? Even more countries?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. He said today that he also... Well, let's see. Wait, where's the story? Because I wrote down the quote.
Oh, my God. Layla is so needy today.
What's going on? I saw you... attending to her.
She's jumping on me. I gave her a treat. Very needy. Go lay down, sweetie.
Well, in the meantime, here's another great, great clip.
Okay.
You got to see these, and they are happy to do it. They are happy to do it. We had a great relationship, but I'll tell you, so let me get back to Biden. Right? Remember? Where's Hunter? You know, last night, I said, where's Hunter? It became like the hottest thing in the whole country. I just said, by the way, where's Hunter? He walked out of China, so he walks out with $1.5 billion. And I said, you know, those aren't the same guys that I've been dealing with from China for the last year and a half. Those guys don't give you $1.5 billion and you know nothing. That's not the same Chinese people. I want to meet those people. Instead of
$50
billion, it would be $500 billion worth of corn.
Well, he's referring to he flew over on Air Force Two, which he now says was a social visit, and he met with someone who gave $1.5 billion to this equity company that he was on the board of.
Oh, we got more from him. Oh, great.
I think Hunter Biden is a disgrace. You know, the number one T-shirt selling right now is Where's Hunter?
Oh, all right.
I came up with that one last night. And by the way, we had a record-setting last night.
as you saw, rally. That was a.
Can someone look up the T-shirt charts? Where
yeah, I haven't seen that on the T-shirt charts. I haven't seen it either, but I'm sure it'll be showing up tomorrow. Anyway, this whole business, social visit, no business. Why is he on Air Force Two? So he says, you know what, Dad, can I fly over on to China for a social visit? I mean, that's ridiculous. And then he meets with this guy and gets $1.5 billion for this equity firm, but it's a social visit. I don't know. Something sounds very squirrely here.
No, but a lot of people should be asking, perhaps. I have not asked it. Hunter Biden walked away with $1.5 billion from China.
Hey, thanks for listening to the podcast.
$168,000 a month from Ukraine. Supposedly a $3 million payment from Ukraine.
$166,000.
Have I asked? No, but I can't imagine that somebody isn't asking.
Yeah, that's interesting. Hunter Biden supposedly was paid $50,000 a month, but now they're saying $166,000 a month. Is it 68?
He said 68.
Okay. No, I think he means $166,000 a month. And that has nothing to do with Trump's impeachment. It has absolutely nothing to do with it. But it's very interesting. And he is very quiet. And
did he leave China with 1.5 million or 1.5 billion?
Billion.
He said million at first. Now it's billion?
It's billion. Okay. No, he always said billion.
Well, in that first clip we played, he said 1
million. Oh, he said one. Oh, just right there. No, it's 1.5 billion. And he was on the board of directors. And he did not have an interest in the company until his father wasn't vice president. And then he bought 10% of the company for $420,000. I don't know. Hunter Biden's transactional history is very interesting.
Nervous, but I've never had anything like that. I look up, the guy is already gone. Ah, we love you with the red shirts. So now the Democrats are making a pathetic bid to save Sleepy Joe. Sleepy Joe Biden. And you know what? I'd love to run against him, to be honest. Anybody like that, if you can't beat him in a debate, you got a big problem, folks. You can't beat him in a debate, you can't be president.
He's supposed to have more on Hunter here.
Because what are you going to do against President Xi and Kim Jong-un? You can't beat Sleepy Joe, and now we're going to meet with Kim Jong-un. I don't think so. But
what's,
he's totally
what's so hard about meeting with Kim Jong-un,
by
the way?
And totally controlled by the Washington swamp for many years.
Boo!
2 months after President Obama put Joe in charge of Ukraine policy, they put Joe Biden in charge of Ukraine policy. Listen to this. And the press will not write it. They say, in totally unsubstantiated charges, every time they talk about him.
They do.
President Trump has said that his son walked away with a fortune. Now, you know that's a totally unsubstantiated charge. Really? It's not unsubstantiated. It's fact. Joe's son, Hunter, got thrown out of the Navy, and then he became a genius on Wall Street in about 2 days. By the way, whatever happened to Hunter? Where the hell is he?
So
he did get a Wall Street job, but it was after he graduated law school.
Hunter Biden, well, I mean, he doesn't sound like the kind of guy you'd pay $166,000 for a gas company in Ukraine.
Maybe
he applied just like anyone else.
We know why he was hired. Same reason Giuliani's hired. It's access.
Well, anyway, his statement today, he resigned because his father could be president. He said he will continue to keep his father personally uninvolved in business affairs.
Yeah, right.
Whatever that means. He will not work for any foreign companies if his father is president. But I guess when he's vice president.
Did I do good, Daddy?
That's different. And lobbying, too, because he was a lobbyist.
Yeah.
And Hunter Biden, you know what else? I read a long string today. It was a story, and it was probably some right-wing site, but I just clicked on it. It was about the media and Hunter Biden. And they had clips of, for example, Chuck Todd in a long argument with someone because it was a Republican congressman. I can't remember his name, but he brought up Hunter Biden in this conversation about Trump. And Chuck Todd keeps arguing that there's nothing there and that, you know, you're looking for some magical missing crime that's been investigated and been clear. And I'm like, wow, why is he arguing this so vociferously? And then MSNBC did the same thing. And it just was interesting to me. And then not only that, last night, did you see Woody Harrelson plays Joe Biden.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which was kind of funny. I love the part where he says, yeah, he refers back to something. He goes, that happened back in 1926.
Oh, well, did you know what Biden said about being during that thing for real? During the, let me see if I can find it.
Anyway, there was not one Hunter Biden joke. Not only did they have a joke the opening week or the last couple weeks about Hunter Biden, did they do anything about Hunter Biden? I mean, this guy is rife with humor opportunities. I know people say, Obama, there's nothing funny about him, so they couldn't really do anything good. And Trump is certainly a great target. But Hunter Biden, he's banging his brother's wife. Now, if Don Trump Jr. was banging Eric's wife and Eric died, I think we'd be hearing a lot about it. He's president, but nonetheless, it just seemed like I'm kind of surprised they wouldn't even have a joke in Weekend Update about Hunter Biden.
I don't know. I didn't see it.
No, they didn't. I didn't watch the end, so maybe they did.
Shoot, I can't find the thing they were parodying with Biden about being gay.
Woody Harrelson, yeah, that was last night?
Yeah.
Yeah, Woody Harrelson was a pretty good Biden, I thought.
Yeah, well, he did it before. I don't know. That cold open was worse than the week before.
I know. Last night's show was honestly not a good show.
Last night's one?
Yeah.
I thought the thing about the podcasting microphone was pretty
good. Yeah, that was funny. That was later in the show, wasn't it?
Yeah, I thought the Oscar the Grouch thing was really funny. The trailer. Joker.
I may have not gotten it because I haven't seen the Joker, but I don't know. It didn't do much for me, but I'm not really... And Stranger Things I've seen, but I don't know. It's hard to have a guest host on a show nowadays because everybody doesn't watch the same top. Yeah. The top 20 shows aren't viewed by that many people.
Uh-huh.
So I think you have to have somebody just humongous on in order to really, have everybody into the tent.
This might be the Biden thing they were mocking. This is pretty weird.
Number two, it's really important that we, in fact, begin to educate people about what's going on. Because, for example, when I came out and when I publicly stated, well,
that would be news if you.
I got something to tell you.
I kind of figured it out a while ago.
So weird. Wasn't that funny?
Well, it's just a stupid joke.
But he told a really weird story, too. Well, whatever.
Was it about corn pop?
No. It was
I gotta say, Bernie Sanders is the most incredible guy. He had a heart attack, and his son died, and he's out campaigning.
I know. Son-in-law, but yeah.
Son-in-law? Well, so his daughter's daughter? His daughter's husband.
Yeah, he doesn't care.
Maybe not. I mean, in a way, that shows how insanely focused these people are on being winning an office.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's insane. Mm-hmm. He had a heart attack, and his son-in-law
should have suspended
died.
His campaign.
Daughter-in-law.
Oh, daughter-in-law. Okay.
Daughter-in-law. Okay, we'll get it one of these days. In-law.
Maybe he hated her.
But he's out campaigning. What is this guy
got
made
a lot of?
Of
work to do. I don't know. I don't know why he wants
crazy Bernie.
I say the same thing about Trump. I cannot believe the energy this guy has. I'm convinced Trump will never die. He'll be a head on a mayonnaise jar, just yapping at everybody. Repeating stuff.
His Twitter will continue long after he's gone. Someone will run it.
Oh, man. And, when you're in a mess like this, you got to shut up. I mean, you have to.
Really?
He is convinced. Yeah, I think
it's worked for him so far to not shut up.
I know, but this is different. I mean, it's a fucking impeachment inquiry.
Oh, I found the Biden quote. Here it is. He said, remember, Anderson, back 15, 20 years ago when we talked about San Francisco, it was all about, gay bathhouses. It was all about round-the-clock sex. Come on, man. Gay couples are more likely to stay together longer than heterosexual couples?
I think I read that about 10 years ago.
Why does Biden know so much about gay bathhouses?
15 to 20 years ago. Isn't it more like 40 years ago?
Aren't they still going on?
I don't think San Francisco's known. Is it? Are they still tons of gay bathhouses there? Maybe
I don't know if I would trust Joe Biden on the history of gay culture within San Francisco. Yeah,
I'm not sure that's somewhere he really wants to go.
So
he's trying to kiss gay people's asses there, obviously.
Yeah. Anderson was having none of it.
Hello.
But anyway,
we're a little more progressive and ahead of the curve here in San Francisco.
Elizabeth Warren's winning anyway.
I can't believe
it. Isn't she number one?
Yeah, I think so.
Patrick Leahy's getting excited hearing this.
It's so hard. for her. Which, by the way, I just...
She's beating Trump, too. She's ahead of Trump, like, 50 to 40, I think.
I cannot stand the impersonation of her on SNL by Katie Cannon.
To me, it's the same one as Hillary, except she put glasses on.
It is.
It's like the same haircut.
The mannerisms are the same.
Almost the same
clothes. And the crowd goes bonkers. Like, it's the funniest thing. But you know what?
Still better than her Giuliani.
The crowd goes bonkers no matter what they do on Saturday Night Live.
So in 2020, you know, when
Trump's... Are those canned laughs, some of those?
I don't think so. No. But there is, like, a light that says laugh, right?
Maybe.
Probably.
I don't know. It seems like the crowd laughs harder than they used to.
Well, in 2020, when Trump beats Elizabeth Warren, we'll have the Elizabeth Warren playing a piano singing Hallelujah.
Oh, my God. That was weird. I honestly, I'm really, you know, I know we've talked about Saturday Night Live politics before, but I just cannot believe. I would think they would do Hunter Biden, something on Hunter Biden, just to show that they do stuff.
Yeah.
And to ignore that, and especially after Harvey Weinstein, that was NBC and Harvey Weinstein. That has got to be. Yeah, I expect it's like Epstein, where we may never know
all the deals,
the extent. Mm-hmm. But
I wonder how much of that is handshake and nods, though. Like, don't do it.
Surprised how much they would kowtow to him. Now, when you throw Matt Lauer in the mix, I suppose. But it's just interesting that a guy who's raping. I don't know how many women are sexually assaulting that many women. He can actually dangle another name and you go, oh, shit. Yeah, well, you just keep raping away and leave our Matt Lauer alone.
Money.
Mm-hmm. Pretty amazing. And, you know, I don't know how far that extends, but I remember there were complaints that SNL was ignoring it. And they said, oh, that's a New York thing or it's not a national thing.
Well, now we know why.
Yeah. They never did. They ever really make fun of Harvey Weinstein? I'm not sure they did. I mean, once he was already completely nailed, they may have.
But that was a big story that they didn't even mention it. That after it broke.
No.
First episode.
It was a huge story.
I didn't want that Lauer story out there.
Yeah. And the Ronan Farrow. This is going to be a really interesting book. I'm looking forward to it. I don't know what else is in there. It seems like nowadays they tell you everything in the book.
Got to be a ton
before you have a chance to. Even buy it. And today the big thing was just the MSNBC president, and I thought that was weak. I really
did. Pretty weak.
And what this Oppenheim guy wrote in college,
who cares?
Really? My God.
It shows a culture, though.
And what Christopher Columbus did.
That's not... Jeez. Yeah. Big Columbus fan over there. Whatever. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it really doesn't matter. I think Lauer, that was probably, was that 1,400 word thing his last stand?
I don't know. He's got to do something. He's off TikTok already, so.
What's that?
Here's one of your locks.
Oh, one of my locks is losing?
Hey, I have them in a parlay, too, so I'm not happy about it either.
Oh, that was a cheap parlay anyway. That was just a
couple bucks. Oh, throw away $7 in my way. You want me to hand you $7? You can just burn it.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Yeah, but the Saints. I made the money back and then some.
What do you mean you made it back?
What was the line on the Saints?
Of the parlay.
I took the Saints straight up.
What was the? Well, what did that pay off? 20 cents on the dollar.
It doesn't matter. I put a bunch of money on it.
Oh, it's a win.
Did you? How much money did you win on?
I'll have to confirm later, but I'd like to say
do it now.
I have to confirm later.
Do it now.
$60.
Yeah.
Yeah, boy, this is my bookie.
That was a lock.
Yeah, man.
It was a lock.
Yep.
That's why it paid off 5 cents on the dollar.
And the parlay was, you know, that one was just a few dollars. But when you parlay, you can win a ton of money. Just like Patrick. Right, Patty?
Charlie just asked me to retweet his show.
Oh, who was on?
You know, I'm not sure. I was just going to mention it. And Pete Rose was on No Filter.
Yeah. Pete Rose was on No Filter, the Thursday episode. It was good because Pete and Denny are good buddies. They see each other at the signing shows and stuff like that. So they have a good rapport together. And they asked him some good questions. And obviously Pete's been asked a million times about gambling and whatnot. But sports gambling is becoming legal. And they're opening up sports books inside stadiums right now.
Yeah, it's great. Why fight it?
So you know, if they're doing this.
You do that in Europe.
You know, eventually someday. I mean, Pete just says,
Peter.
I'm going to get into the Hall of Fame when I'm dead.
Oh, he absolutely is.
But he doesn't believe he's going to be in the Hall of Fame when he's alive. But it was a good, I don't know, 35 minutes with Pete Rose at the end of the episode. It's definitely worth checking out.
Meanwhile, ML Elric is still just floating in the wind.
Hmm.
waiting for
him.
He's
drinking out of a whiskey bottle at the Michigan State game.
I don't blame him.
I know. He went to that. Wait, he was at that game?
Not a good week. Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know if that was a file footage thing.
No, he drove all the way. Yeah.
Ooh. Ouch.
I support the team.
Ugh. Hokies won.
Did they? Who'd they play?
Rhode Island.
All right. Did Brandon put any bets on him for you?
Brandon?
All you have to do is relay what you'd like me to bet, and I'll do it.
Just thanks.
Just let me know.
Well, so you actually do control my account.
Well, if you were to request something, just put it in writing, and I'll make sure I click the buttons for you. In the meantime, I have to make these bets. I don't want your account to go stagnant, Drew.
If you don't use it, don't use
I didn't realize they shut it down if you didn't make a bet all the time.
It's like a gift card. They start taking money away for every month you don't use it.
Yeah, I didn't know it expired.
That's not true. Did you watch any of the true crime shows over the weekend?
I did.
Did you start? What about 2020? Did you watch 2020 about the Florida State law professor?
Oh, yeah. I've been watching that story for a long time. By the way, she's really pretty, isn't she?
Yeah.
Can we agree on that?
Yeah.
I think she's extremely attractive.
I started watching it, and you want to know why I turned it off?
Why?
Because of the podcast angle. I got too bad. I couldn't watch it.
Wait, I'm trying to remember whose podcast. I know there's a podcast with everything now. It's like a website. A podcast is like having a website.
You're right.
Or a Facebook page.
Except somebody from the outside did it, and it got 10 million downloads. And I'm like, you know what? I don't want to hear about this guy's ultra successful podcast.
Who's checking how many downloads they got? Who's verifying that? Who's vetting that number?
Exactly. You're not.
I don't see him ahead of us.
Are they on PodTrack? I don't think so. But yeah, no, I honestly
ridiculous.
Was like, I seriously did not want to watch it because of that. I turned it off. Plus, I've heard that story before. That story's old. Been there, done that. I thought Dateline was great, though. The two-hour Dateline on this couple that just got shot in their driveway with the,
With
the autistic kid sitting in his car.
Unbelievable.
What a sad story. And that chick was banging like everybody. So this couple gets shot in their driveway. And everyone's like, who did it? I can't believe that guy got away from the initial shooting.
I know.
And so it turns out they also had the guy who was murdered had two kids from a previous relationship. And I thought she was kind of cute.
She was.
And she lived in Texas. And so it was a custody thing. And it turns out her husband she was divorcing was an ex-cop. Because he slapped his 3-year-old, which she videotaped, by the way. What a mess.
I know. She told on him.
Yes.
And then went apeshit when they lost those kids.
Yes. And then so his plan of keeping her was to go
nice telling on him.
Murder the father of her other two kids so she could get custody back.
Yeah. With her approval.
She helped him out because he got pulled over.
She was interviewed on that show, wasn't she?
Yes.
Yeah. She was talking about it.
Yeah,
no, it was incredible.
Wild, wild.
Absolutely
story.
Wild.
And he never would have been caught if he didn't have to call 911 in Kansas because he put his car in a ditch, so he called 911. And what a great job by that officer.
Mm-hmm.
Just quizzing him, and they had all the. That was a really, really good Dateline.
Yeah, that was a. A lot of those shows are dependent on a good interview with the cops.
Yes.
They always have the video, and that one was really good.
It's just funny how many times he caught him, like, oh, really? Well, I thought you said that you didn't live at home.
I know, that was funny.
He said he was living out of his car, and he had a rental car, and he had guns.
Going up to New York to see a friend.
You're just in Texas driving around Kansas. It's okay. And then the guy did
they never thought they were going to get caught. We caught him.
You know,
the investigation
cops,
that officer did was great because then he went to where the guy took the car the next day to ask him about it. And they found out that they were weirded out by him and he had a tactical vest and they went through their cameras and saw him there. Then they went to the Enterprise car rental and the guy's like, yeah, he came in, but he didn't have a credit card and he went ape shit because I wouldn't give him a car. So the lady drove all the way to Kansas to rent him another car so he could go kill the two people.
It's incredible.
Crazy that people think they can
incredible.
Get away with
I know.
Stuff.
It is amazing how people
Actually,
believe that.
I tell you back, the amazing thing is that there's so many unsolved murders.
Yeah, yeah.
I know, because there's videotape of everything. How about the guy? Oh, my God. I watched two Datelines last night. I was a little. I want to rewatch the one you're talking about because it's playing blackjack during it.
I was too,
unfortunately, losing. So I'm watching, so it's going to take more work to double my paycheck to make
okay.
up for it.
Brandon will win it back.
I will.
You.
Oh, yeah, with all those locks. When is your, Brandon, you got to debut your lock of the week this week.
I will, I promise.
Maybe we should do it in conjunction with Spike King. Should we call Spike King this week?
Yeah.
We had lock of the week would have been the Saints this week, because that was what I liked the best.
No, we're not doing revisionist history on lock of the week, so there's not been a lock of the week yet. Until you play the intro, there's no lock of the week.
The lock of the week was taking the Patriots -7.5 in game when it was tied.
Was it tied?
Tied, I got
that game was never tied, was it?
Wasn't it? It was 14-all.
No, it was. Was it? Oh, I thought it was 21-14 or 20-14.
Wasn't it 14-all when they got the fumble recovery for a touchdown? The Giants. Oh,
I thought they were up 21-7. Maybe I'm wrong. I was watching it.
The lock of the week was not Georgia giving up 2.5 in the middle of that game when they were down 7. That sucked.
I'm sorry.
Oh, that was painful.
Anyway, watch this Dateline thing. And this guy sees. Okay, he and his wife were.
I love this part, Brandon, trying to guess what the story, the crime was. Who the.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to skip that one. It's a little complicated. There was the one, the 2020 was the one with the hot wife and the husband. And that couple, they were a horrible couple, by the way. Mm-hmm. And
Anybody should have gotten divorces.
Yeah. And of course, it was all his fault because he really wanted to hold her down. And, you know, but her interview with the police, I would have sat there and gone, wow, you really hate this guy. Mm-hmm. Because she said stuff like, or maybe it was on the pod. There was the podcast. Was that her talking on the podcast?
I don't know. I won't listen to it. Very stubborn.
She said stuff like, well, I shouldn't have expected him to read my book because he doesn't like this kind of, he doesn't like fiction or whatever. Mm-hmm. She's really being sarcastic. In other words, can you believe this fucking asshole didn't read my book? And instead she's like, well, I don't know why he should read my book. It's about fiction. He doesn't like fiction or whatever it was. And she just had all these really passive-aggressive sort of condescending statements whenever it came to him.
Yeah.
And he did sound like a dick. But she just wanted the kids in southern Florida. He lived in Tallahassee. He taught at Florida State, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And she was going to get the kids. And
Dan,
so
he's the law professor?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Dan Markle. Okay.
And, you know, he traveled all around giving speeches and stuff. I'm like, who pays this guy to go speak? Really? I'm amazed by what generates money. But anyway, who pays for it, though? I mean, can you imagine if you made the people who showed up there buy a ticket and cover all his expenses and pay him? Do you think they really would?
Well, isn't he just giving speeches at other universities?
Yeah, right.
I mean, they got money to spend.
I know. They do. Because they charge so fucking much, they throw money out the ass, just like the college football programs do. Yeah. But it is so obvious to me that her family hired that guy that went down and killed him.
Well, the moral of that story is if you want someone dead, you got to stop involving so many people.
Well, I think it helped him, maybe, didn't it?
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I guess, yeah, because the people that actually did the murder are the ones.
The only guy they nailed was the murderer.
Yeah.
Now, why did that guy.
Her cool brother, doctor.
What a turd. Yeah, but his girlfriend is the one that knew those two guys.
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. It's too obvious.
The girlfriend, okay, you've got the couple and the wife, soon to be ex-wife. Her brother's girlfriend talks to these two clowns extensively, and they rent a Prius and go to Tallahassee. They drive, 6 hours in one day or something?
Yeah.
They follow him around his work parking lot or whatever that parking lot was. They follow him home, and they go up and they shoot him in the face in his garage, and they drive home.
Yep. Tons of security footage of him, too.
They don't even know him. Mm-hmm. Why else would they have killed that guy?
I know.
They just decided to go kill somebody they didn't know who was in this giant custody battle?
Well, the guy in the Dateline, he didn't know him. He just was killing him to get the kids back for his wife. It's always, why do these people pull the trigger? Because the one person who pulls the trigger always gets it worse.
And the girl, by the way, the girlfriend of the brother, and it's confusing. She all of a sudden gets breast implants and she has all this money and know?
Which he dug. He loved it.
Oh, yeah, he dug that. But where'd she get all this money?
Nice that the family just took her side, no matter what. The divorce.
I know. And, you know,
that's one tight family if they're going to murder for you.
That was incredible. And the parents, you know what I thought was also interesting? And I don't know if you got this far because you were disgusted by the podcast.
Honestly, I turned it off.
Understandable.
Yeah.
When this couple split up, she had a new boyfriend, and he was a suspect. They interviewed him. His comments were really interesting because he said the parents, all they talked about was the ex-husband.
That's weird.
You know, and
it must be nice being the new boyfriend and hearing all that.
No, I know, but
it makes you look good.
Yeah, it does. I mean, the bar's really low. But it was just what a shitbag he was. And he thought that something was really wrong because that's all they talk about. Weird. They're obsessed with him. And there was nothing wrong with that guy. He was a very caring father. But they just couldn't stand for him to have anything to say about those kids. And she even said she was going to take them to Catholic school to piss them off, to piss him off.
That's nice. That's classy.
And that's great. Because, or was it Christian school? Or, wait, was he Jewish? I don't remember. She was going to put them in some religion to anger him.
Who's raising those kids now? Does she have custody?
Yeah, I think she does.
No, he was extremely Jewish.
Okay.
Extremely Jewish? What does that mean?
Well, to the point where he studied at the Hebrew University of Jerusalem. And
I thought they said he was Jewish on 2020. I'm pretty sure they did. But anyway,
he was very involved.
She wanted to put them in either Catholic school or something else just to piss him off.
What a cunt.
Oh, I know. She was the worst.
So she has custody of those kids now, too. So everything worked out great for her.
Yeah, it sure did. And she's hot. I thought she was really
cute. She is really cute.
So who's going to be the guy? Who's going to be the guy that's with her now?
She's one of those girls though that could suck you in with her hotness, but once you got sucked in, be like, what happened to me? Yeah, put on 2020, Brandon. Okay. Or should we just get out of here?
I'll do it.
Now I see that there was.
If you go
mistrial.
To the part where she's talking to the police, it's pretty fucking fascinating.
I see there's a mistrial. Is the mistrial the girlfriend?
Yeah, the girlfriend.
It's not the actual wife.
The girlfriend of the brother, actually. The girlfriend of the brother, right?
Yeah.
Well,
is he still with her, by the way?
No.
He's not. Okay. Because I thought she'd rat him out.
It's the brother's ex-girlfriend who is currently with the hitman. That's what's so. There's a huge web of people in this.
Well, wasn't she really playing the doctor? Because she was always dating the murderer.
The dentist?
Yeah.
Oh. From what I remember. She may have been because she was too hot for him.
Maybe I should listen to this podcast.
I know. Maybe I should watch the whole show over again. I couldn't get over how annoying this chick was. It was like, somebody's going to kill her. Somebody's going to die. Although he wasn't very likable either. They were just a horrible couple.
They were perfectly terrible for each other.
Yeah. They were kind of, it's almost like they deserved each other.
Poor kids, man. Who's that?
That's the boyfriend, I think. Yeah, okay, you play from there. That's not a bad spot.
Florida State Law School professor
Wendy Adelson had a problem.
That's the least hot I've ever seen her look.
Dan Markell.
The acrimony and the fighting over the two boys was extreme.
My parents have more reason to dislike Danny than almost anyone else.
What?
He hurt their daughter.
She told me that Charlie had looked into having Danny killed. She meant it dead serious.
I am a periodontist.
Asshole.
If you're looking at somebody, you'll miss him.
I don't have evidence to charge the Adelsons, but there is a link to that family between our killers, and that link is Catherine.
Ding dong! Look at those big tits.
Mystery woman, Katie, she knows both parties in this very sordid soap opera.
Does that brother look like Matt Derry? Isn't he?
The reporter?
No, the brother.
He can't get convicted for that, but will she for murder?
Yeah, I really wanted her. God, he looks like somebody too. I really wanted the part where she's talking about him and putting the kids in Catholic school, and I think he went by him
right there.
It was when they showed his staff photos of periodontist or whatever.
Oh boy,
We just watched it. Not very relatable for the audience, but sometimes you got to be selfish to make a point.
Well, there's that dick podcaster. I'm just sick of seeing.
And they're 10 million downloads. My ass.
I don't see it on here.
Added a zero. We just watched it.
Wait, you
just
mean on
came
that
up
preview?
With his scrubs on? Yeah.
Oh. Wait, the part we just played?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I love those mass drops. Yeah.
They slow down.
Well,
there he is.
Yeah, the way he's leaning.
Matt Derry's living a double life.
If Matt grew his hair out and greased it back, became a periodontist.
Yeah, it's in the ballpark.
The eyes and the nose, yeah.
All right, we should probably get out of here. I'm going to rewatch this thing. I apparently missed it all. But I'm telling you, her statements were just beyond belief what a bitch she was. And she was trying to be honest.
She got away with murdering her ex-husband.
The only thing I can think of is that... Oh, this is pretty funny.
This is where she's being interviewed by the detective.
Yeah.
Area criminals they've arrested for killing him and the Adelsons, his ex-in-laws.
It's a woman named Catherine. Oh, what a nightmare.
Katie is the mother of two kids fathered by Sigfrido Garcia.
The Adelsons say Catherine also worked at that very successful dental clinic the Adelsons ran in Fort Lauderdale. But who in the Adelson
put
family would actually
brother,
be able
Matt Derry.
To orchestrate a hit on Dan Markell?
Didn't they bust him like on the street?
Do this for your benefit without asking him?
The possible answer to that question came in an eye-opening comment made by Wendy about what her brother Charlie said right after he bought her a TV.
My brother, the one his name's Charlie, the one I'm really close to, he makes a lot of jokes in bad taste, and it was a joke he made. Oh, I looked into hiring a hitman, and it was cheaper to get you this TV, so instead I got you this TV. And it was my divorce present.
Okay. Why would you
My divorce present!
Why would you say that?
She's crying, even though she hates. She's so fucking glad he's
Charlie
dead.
Would even be capable of doing something like this?
No.
Let's just talk.
He's a joker.
Okay.
Why'd you say it then? Why'd you bring it up to a cop?
Great joke.
But her former boyfriend, Jeff Lacaz, told police that when Wendy related the account,
he looks
to
just
him,
like her husband, by the way.
There's nothing funny about
right.
it.
She told me that Charlie had looked into having Danny killed in summer 2013. She meant it dead serious. Ooh. I would be investigating Charlie Adelson. Now, I don't know if he did this. If you're looking at somebody, don't miss him.
How dare you!
To make police take a closer look at Big Brother Charlie. And when they do...
Yeah, Charlie loves wearing scrubs.
Yeah, he wears them everywhere.
He's got a picture with him out of scrubs.
Katie was dating Charlie from about 2013 to early 2015. That means at the time the murder was set up, they were hanging out.
It's a heck of a coincidence.
It is a heck of a coincidence.
If you're drawing a line between our victim and our killers, he's going to be one of the dots. I mean, he's a suspect.
He's
down
so fucking
in South
guilty.
Florida, Michael Weinstein,
he'll get nailed
Charlie's
someday,
attorney,
I predict.
Told me it's ridiculous to think that
he's. Don't you think it'll be a cold
Charlie
case someday?
Yeah, where they actually get him?
Yeah.
Are you saying the brother has
the brother.
Currently not been charged?
No.
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 Oh, wow.
Just his girlfriend. Yeah, his girlfriend cared about this child custody thing. Bullshit. There he is in Scrubs again. In Scrubs again.
Bought his sister a TV for a divorce present? What?
What the hell is that?
What a stupid present.
That was her answer when he gave it.
You know what I loved was there's a story. It's a it's a big podcast too, a big true crime podcast about this monster, this divorced woman who had a flower shop, I think. She's a really successful business person.
Was it Miggy's ex?
No, it wasn't Miggy's ex. No. That flower shop's long gone.
Way closed.
And this guy was a fake surgeon. But he wore scrubs everywhere.
Oh, we've talked about this case. Yeah.
Yeah. He was, but he met for the first day. He's like, hey, I just got a surgery, so I'm selling my scrubs. He was a big
anybody
bullshitter.
Anybody could buy scrubs.
I know.
Wear scrubs. I'm going to start wearing scrubs.
She bought it for a long time. Even after the daughter had proved he was a liar.
Oh, this is where they busted him. With the cameras rolling.
Oh, the mother-in-law,
Donna
yeah.
Because they wanted to get her to flip on him or something.
By a man she's never seen before. This person turns out to be an undercover FBI agent.
Excuse me, Mrs. Adelson? How you doing? Just want to give you this.
Who
Listen.
Are you? You're
scary. No, don't be scared.
They had an
she
agent
did a good job.
Donna,
right?
Say that he was the brother of one of the assailants.
Yeah, was your mother.
I needed something a little extra to take care of him.
He helped your family with this problem you guys had up north, and we want to make sure that he's going through some rough times, and we want to make sure that you take care of what he's going through the way you're taking care of Katie and Tuka.
I don't know
what Well, this will explain it.
And on that piece of paper is a picture of Dan, news clippings about
That's
the murder.
Weird.
She has the paper, they're walking away.
What they should have been doing is... They should have been bugging the phones at this time, and then they'd hear her call, "Oh my God, I just got this thing!"
A piece of paper with his phone number written on it, and she calls the guy.
Ooh!
Hello?
This is Mrs. Adelson. You handed me an article from the newspaper about my ex-son-in-law.
I'm listening.
I have to tell you, I mean, this is important. I have been so stressed out because I don't know your friend who is in jail.
Liar!
Have you ever met him?
Let's stop around, okay? You know who Katie is. And you know that Katie has somebody that knows Tato. And they took care of a problem for you people. You talk to the right people. You talk to people. You make this 5K come to me. That's all I need. Just do it and get it to me.
I'll call you back.
She calls her son Charlie, and they proceed to have these cryptic conversations.
Hi, Mommy.
I've got some paperwork.
Wow, they do. They did what I said.
Does it involve me or other people?
Well, probably both of us. So
probably both of us?
What I'm talking about. So let's just find some time to talk to each other.
Now, this conversation raises a lot of questions.
Guilty!
I guess Mom do knows best.
Right
case closed!
About her conversation with this
They're
guy.
So fucking guilty, are you kidding me?
They must have aware that they were being listened to, they were being eavesdropped.
Oh, let me open this cold case, please.
Got away with it, though.
Charlie to Katie.
No, it's not over.
Yeah, it is.
I don't understand. It's either somebody's pulling your bone.
Pulling your bone?
It's just harassing
not the same.
You, or somebody's trying to get something out of you.
All I'm saying is find out who
stop pulling my bone.
Charlie's seems to be begging Katie to figure out what's happening.
Are you fucking
right?
kidding me?
He's getting worried.
He's guilty.
Who you have to talk to, but it needs to be nipped in the bud.
Yeah. It's either the FBI banging or whatever it is, because
she's right.
I'm getting pissed. Like, I'm gonna go to the cops right now.
Okay. Well, either you go to the cops or we go to the cops, or
exactly.
We'll find out.
We're both gonna go to the cops.
They discuss the possibility of going to law enforcement, and then it's dropped. There's
sure
never any
they
discussion
will.
About
Dude.
It again.
I want Ultimately, both up in the sweat box right now. Sweat it out of them. Delbert was absolutely right. The sweat box needs to make a comeback. Just sweat it out of them.
What was that big-tittied Asian chick doing with that loser doctor?
Oh, money.
The doctor.
She wanted new titties, and she wanted some dough.
Some nice teeth.
Yeah.
Hang on, let me just ask my boner. Oh, yeah, he's fine with it.
Get us out of here, Brandon.
Yeah, boy.
Oy.
Okay, so here we go, new week.
Yeah, Lions tonight.
Yeah.
Tonight being Monday.
And, Brandon, you got a lock on the game?
Oh, man, I'm going to have to take a look at what the... I already know that the odds... Let's see.
Isn't the parlay over?
Hang on, let me just ask my boner. Oh, yeah, he's fine
You're
with
right,
it.
My parlay is screwed, so...
Oh, we already lost a lot.
I'll find some prop bets to get it all back.
No, I don't think so.
Prop bets. Thanks to the guy who was on the puke plane. What was his name?
Tom.
Yeah.
Tom was great.
And his brother Anthony?
Yeah. Very cool.
Very nice. And I don't know what's coming up this week, but
oh,
we did.
Something's coming up. Oh, there's an interview coming up. Who was it?
Oh, it's Jim Brewer.
Jim Brewer. Yes.
Oh, Jim Brewer. All right.
Yeah, we're going to talk Jim Brewer this week.
Thank you. Maybe he'll do Goat Boy.
By the way, that Jamie Kennedy interview, that was when we landed 99 on the top 100.
Good interview.
And it wasn't just a fluke. Well, not, it's never a fluke, but I mean, it's not like there's some big news event and you just land high.
When are we going to be in a...
Just a regular show?
When are we going to be in a true crime story? Use our podcast.
I know.
God, ludicrous.
You've hundreds of millions of downloads.
If I see another Dateline 2020 or 48 Hours with a podcaster, I'm going to lose my shit.
And you can multiply the amount of downloads by 10, and they'll report it that way. It's great.
Best $200 I ever spent.
Hey, like us on Facebook. Rate us on places like Stitcher. Nobody ever rates us. Or iTunes or Facebook. The reviews are nice. Thank you. See you tomorrow.
That's what I'm talking about.
Boom! Hot take!
How dare you?
I'm sorry.
Another famous person f***s up, and...
Hey, it's Tiger. You gotta do this for me, dude, quickly. Bye.
Another famous person apologizes.
I am deeply sorry for my irresponsible and selfish behavior.
Whether it's banging fat chicks...
I don't think there is a fancy way to say that I have sinned.
Banging psycho chicks.
Yeah, I sit here before you guys, embarrassed and ashamed
for committing adultery.
Are boo-fooing dudes!
Shamefully, I engaged in an adult consensual affair with another man.
Yes, the world's biggest names are falling all over themselves to apologize for every kind of f*** up imaginable. And now, thanks to this 3-DVD, 3-CD set, you can have hours of fun watching these self-absorbed big shots humble themselves. Includes all 5 Jameis Winston apologies.
I just want to apologize to the university. I'm not a me person, but in that situation, that was a selfish act.
Try to make sense out of a married congressman's apology for taking a wide stance in a gay-only bathroom.
Please let me apologize. I did nothing wrong at the Minneapolis airport.
There's sexting apologies.
I'm here primarily to express my apologies to my wife, but anyone who was misled, all of you who were misled.
Steroid apologies.
I apologize to everybody in Major League Baseball. Today was the hardest day of my life.
Apologies and forget they were apologies.
I'm not a racist. Big Magic Johnson, what has he done? And he had AIDS, and when he had those AIDS.
Finally, it's here. I'm really, really sorry. Hundreds of famous people apologizing. Available in this one-time offer. Order now by calling 1-800-I'M-SORRY and pay only $19.95. Oops, sorry, it's actually $39.95. Order now and we'll throw in bonus apologies like Kwame.
I want to tell you, Detroit, that you done set me up for a comeback.
And Brady Hoke.
The one thing I can tell you is, but, you know, I'm a football coach, and particularly coach kids.
I'm really, really sorry. Call 1-800-I'M-SORRY now.
We are deeply sorry.
It was horrific behavior.
We're sorry.
I want to ask for your forgiveness.
We're sorry.
I embarrassed my family.
We're sorry.
I'm not a racist. That's what's so insane about this.
Sorry.
It was wrong. I was wrong.
We're sorry.
I made a terrible mistake.
We're sorry.
I lied to. I have an apology for all of them.
Sorry.
And, you know, through this situation, I found Jesus.
We're sorry.
Very ashamed of myself.
I'm deeply sorry.
Stop laughing. That's funny.
Sorry.